If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin, where's the baby?
I don't know. I thought you had him.
Loser! You're a loser! Are you feeling sorry for yourself? Well, you should be, because you are dirt! You make me sick, you big baby! Baby, want a bottle? A big dirt bottle?
Baby, where's my cigarettes, huh?
If they're up your ass, you'd know.
Anyway, this is Super Dave on the All Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys. But first, these commercials.
Now, Dave and I worked together at K-Rock, a radio station here, many years ago. And at the time Dave started, he was a phone screener. And what do you do now there at the station, Dave?
Now I'm a screener for the phones.
You're a phone screener. Yeah. He's still a phone screener there. It's 10 years of saying, you're caller number 6, you're caller number 7. But it's all paid off now with this amazing world record. Why are you doing this, Dave?
Because Kevin and Bean told me to.
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
And now.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I got some great news. The hump in hump day turned out to be benign.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, party people. 5:30 now, Wednesday morning. It is the 15th of Blovember. Has Kevin lost weight, Lisa? What's going on? He looks thinner. I don't know.
You mean like when he turns to the side, it's like you can't even see him that thin?
Exactly.
Then, yes, he's lost a lot of weight overnight, wow. In fact.
Maybe he got lucky. Maybe he's a midget now. Be the best. What's the deal? Have we heard anything? Do we have to make a phone call? Or is he on the way?
Kevin's very good looking and intelligent. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I see. That's the way it is. I mean, I've heard him cut it close and all, but...
And then there's
guys kind of get too close,
right? Then there's being late.
How's it going?
It's like, right, what 20 seconds? You figure 20 seconds.
That's how tight he cuts it.
Well, I normally don't cut it quite that tight, but I decided this morning that our fantastic highway patrolmen don't get spoken to enough, so I thought I'd pull over,
dude,
and just have a little chat.
You know, didn't you tell me just yesterday that you had this?
Shut up. Yeah, I do. I have the theory on the motorcycles.
Right, which sounded good. Like, it could save you from getting a ticket. Yesterday, someone else got a ticket instead of you.
At this time in the morning, if you see a motorcycle headlight behind you, it seems to me like most of the time it's the highway patrol.
Yeah, I see that too.
But I'm going to make a crazy, crazy, far-out suggestion. Let's think real hard. Let's all put our heads together and think really, really hard. Is there any other way we can think where you may not be worried about getting a ticket?
Helicopter.
Yeah, that's
it.
That's true. That's the only way.
Helicopter?
That's
the only way. Okay, that's one. Can we think of anything else, class?
Kevin can move in here.
I can move here.
Mike, you're not helping.
I like that. He's coming up with alternatives.
I'm trying to help.
Right. I'm just suggesting perhaps
he could move closer.
A speed that's not... No, he'd just get up 2 minutes later if he moved 2 minutes closer. Lisa, you know that.
You're right.
Maybe a speed that's not 80. Would be the answer.
Well, he's doing more than 80.
How dare you even suggest that? It wasn't actually for speeding. It was there was a loser in the left lane that was going like 50.
Yeah.
I have two options. I can either bump him and push him, right? Speed him up physically,
uh-huh.
Or go around him. So I went around him in the carpool lane.
Oh, you did not. Nobody goes into the carpool lane like that.
Well, au contraire, mon frère.
No. Wow, that's like a $280 fine, isn't it?
So then I also crossed the double yellow to do it.
Right.
So
as is the case usually when you go into the purple lane.
Yes.
Right. So he pulled me over.
And that's way bad news. They frowned very, very deeply on that.
And there's not that many people on the freeways at this time of morning. Why couldn't you go the other way?
Couldn't. Sometimes they run a blockade. They do. Sometimes they have like 4 cars side by side by side by side, and there's no place you can go.
It's true.
I mean, they're daring me to do it. Yes, Lightning.
This is it's Lightning, and I break all of the rules of the road except for that one is my
pet peeve.
That's the one I won't do. I won't break that double yellow, and I won't.
Why is that your pet peeve?
It's just
wrong, man.
You know what? Because when I'm in the carpool lane, I haul ass.
Right.
I illegally speed. But if someone darts out in front, it's smash all the time.
Right. But don't you think there's a chance that I checked the lane before I went into it?
No.
Yes, of course I did. What's wrong with
you? You're hauling ass. You don't have time.
All you have to do is do a quick glance. You don't see there's no one in the lane, so you go.
But here's the question before we find out what happened with Mr. Officer Howdy. So you say you say they were conspiring against you. They were running a blockade.
Yes, they were running a blockade.
You to do it. They were intentionally boxing you out.
Yes.
If you had exhibited the tiniest amount of patience, how long till that one of those lanes would have broken free, where you would have had the opportunity perhaps to not get into the carpool lane and still be past them?
Dude, I gave it like 30 seconds. I mean, how long do you want me to wait for them? They were clearly talking. They must have had walkie-talkies or something.
CBs, probably.
CBs, that could be
CB
too.
Radio. But, oh, dude, Kevin, seriously, stay where you are. Stay where you are. All right, I'm going to move up a little bit. All right, you stay where you are. Okay, great, got him. Boxed in.
Kevin is the guy, like, in Fast and Furious, when there's two big rigs on either side, and he figures out a way to drive under the big rigs,
well,
through the side and out.
Sometimes you have to be creative. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so was this a motorcycle, or was this
a regular
car?
It was a car.
All right, so he saw you.
Yeah.
Was he marked?
No. Well, yeah, he was.
It's but just you can't see him.
You can't see behind when it's dark.
Okay. Black and white or all white? Because the all white ones really screw with you. There's
I don't know
way to see that.
I don't know whether it was black and white or all white. Okay. All I saw was the red lights flashing.
All right, so you pull over. Or did you pull over? I shouldn't even assume that.
Did
he have to chase you until you ran out of gas?
No, I lost him. No.
You pulled over.
I pulled over, yeah.
And in your head, here's what I really want to know. As you saw the lights go on behind you, in your head, please tell me the truth. Did you think,
No, I didn't think that. I was trying I was trying my best to remember the 1,750 times we've had somebody on the air to tell us how to get out of tickets.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of one thing. Not one. We've talked to them over and over and over again. I just don't have any.
Then not the number one honesty rule?
Oh, I did that.
I did that.
Okay, maybe I did remember it from that.
But and we finally beaten that into your head. Yes.
I got out my license, as I rolled down my window on the right side, the passenger side, because I was was on the freeway. He came up and I said, speeding and crossed the double yellow line. Here you go. Handed him my license because they always say, "Do you know why I pulled you over?"
Right.
Now, did you? One piece of advice. I don't think I remember this exactly right, but aren't you also supposed to show them a tiny portrait of Benjamin Franklin? Aren't you supposed to hand that with your license? Because I understand that is effective.
I didn't think about that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Did you show some cleavage?
Cleavage, yeah.
Yeah, because that's.
I was
helpful.
Pulling my shirt down, but he thought I had some kind of rash. That did not help.
That doesn't help you. All right.
But I said speeding and crossing double yellow line before he said, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" Mm-hmm. Just figuring, look, I'm in a rush. Let's get this over with. Let's move on. And he kind of laughed, and he took my license, and then he took my registration and everything. He went back to his car. And then he came back, and he said, you know what? You actually admitted that you did something wrong. You knew what you did wrong, so don't do it again. Have a good day.
No way.
How cool is that?
Really?
Bogus.
It worked.
Yeah, because I was just like, look, I know what I did. This is what I did. I'm not going to try and play a mind game and say I didn't do it and be upset, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
and these
my
guys
God.
Get such a raft every time they're out there all day long with everyone they pull over.
Yeah.
It was probably refreshing for him.
I just figured two things. One, it might make him laugh and might make him at least understand I'm not being a dick. And two, it'll speed things up. I might as well just.
You were being a dick, but it was before you got pulled over. Not after.
Well, I mean, you could consider it being a dick, or you could consider it being a good driver. So the way I look at it is he gave me a good driver discount.
I see. Okay. So facing the same situation as you will tomorrow morning at 5:28, will you do the same thing?
How dare you? How dare you suggest that I would do that again? And that I'm going to be late again. Please.
Would you do it again?
Probably. No, I wouldn't. No, I don't think so. I mean, I really didn't need to. You're right.
You don't want to burn the goodwill?
If I would have waited for 30 seconds, I could have probably gotten by the blockade. There probably would have been another one ahead of them, but...
Yeah.
Because everyone's conspiring against me.
It's funny because as I'm leaving my house, Bean, and it's, and I'm running late, and, it's a... I look down at my mobile phone, and the emails pop in, and I see one come from Kevin, and it's about 5:05 when it trickles through. And I realize... It's 30 minutes from his house to the station, so...
And he's still at home.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, sometimes right, I'm a little late, is what you're saying.
So the lesson we've learned for the youngsters listening today is...
Don't do that.
What?
Don't cross the double yellow line. You got to have a tiny amount of patience. But what he didn't mention, and that's because I handed him the paperwork, is that I was in a carpool lane, and there was only one of me.
Yeah.
But I handed him a little piece of paper that the state had given me, signifying that they consider my penis a whole nother person.
Well, that's great.
So
I can legally put that in the seat next to you, do you?
Yeah, I can just
buckle it up.
Just buckle it in the passenger seat, and then I can move on. So
Is it uncomfortable if you actually do have a passenger with you because you have to put your penis in the back seat?
Well, I put the passenger in the back seat.
Yeah.
I see.
Of course. Right. What, do you think I'm crazy?
Well, that's quite a little story to tell us today.
That's amazing. I'm so impressed.
Considering all of that, the fact that you're only 30 seconds late is pretty impressive.
See, I wasn't running that late. It didn't take that long either because he was really cool and he said, you're at least admitting what you did, which never happens. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So that's a good tip. That guy was cool.
That's a good thing to learn.
You're not going to get out of your ticket every time, and I don't expect to either, but that was cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We have Harvey Levin on the show today from TMZ.com.
Love him.
The Hammer.
The Hammer's back on, talking about Anna Nicole Smith and her power getting turned off, and talking about a possible Britney Spears sex tape, and talking about the Tom Cruise wedding and how it's doomed because of astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to him about that in the 7 o'clock hour. Plus, we're going to talk about astrology because Bean and I are fascinated by this. And it doesn't make sense to us in any way that, you know, if Uranus is in retrograde, how that has anything to do with the wedding. You know what I mean?
Right.
It seems so silly.
And if astrology is to be believed, all the people that were born close to the same time you were, even in the same hospital that you were, on the day that you were born, all those people are going to grow up to be just like you. And that's just absurd. It's just crazy that the kid in the bed next to me is going to end up like me just because we happen to be born about the same time in the same place.
God,
right?
I hope not. I hope all the people that were born when you were didn't turn out like you.
That's a good point.
That'd be bad. But we gotta talk about astrology because a lot of people live their lives by it.
They really do.
Millions of people follow it.
Also on today's show, Bob Dylan's Theme Time Radio Hour.
Oh, fantastic.
That's always fun. We got the lightning strikes. Oh, no, we don't have lightning strikes. We have, I'm sorry, we had to bump that because we have a woman who's very upset at us and her husband because her husband listens to our show and tells her about it.
Oh, really?
Now, did you get the sense, because I hear from Lightning that she hates our show and that he loves it and talks about it all the time and it's really close to destroying their marriage.
That is the sense I got, yeah.
Okay.
He's driving her crazy, and if it was something that she enjoyed, that it would be a different thing, but it's not really.
Wow. Mm. And we're going to talk to her. She'll love that.
Yeah. But you know what? It was funny because I was in the office when Lightning was making the call to them, and he had more trouble talking the guy into it.
Really?
Maybe because the guy thought he was going to get in trouble or something instead
right,
of the girl. The girl was fine. She's like, yeah, absolutely. I'll come on and tell you why you suck. So that's coming up just after 6 o'clock. We have a American Music Award tickets with a brand new game.
Oh, yeah.
You know how those go?
Mm-hmm.
Really well?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you dye your pubes? That's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, today is the day that we announce the bands for the second night. Sunday, December 10th at Gibson Amphitheater for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006.
Okay.
So we'll give you those details coming up this morning, too. We got Ralph Showbiz Beat next. It is 5:51 now. It's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Everybody talking about the Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes wedding. They're now in Rome as we speak. They arrived yesterday morning with a 10-person entourage at a small airport outside the city. And People Magazine is reporting that the couple was driven to the hotel with a police escort.
Oh.
Just coming from the airport?
Yes, because they're dignitaries.
Because they had to get to the hotel quickly?
Yes, they had to quickly open the minibar.
Did they get to go in the carpool lane?
No. No one gets to cross the double line and go to the carpool lane and not get a ticket. Boo on the police, by the way. Bad job.
They were being cool, for God's sakes, Ralph.
It's not cool, man.
Come on, break.
You broke the law. You have to do some time.
I admitted breaking the law.
Then that's an admission of guilt. Boom. Case closed. Ticket. People like you getting away with everything. It's not right.
Why are you so hateful?
Because no one else gets away with it.
Yes, they do.
And no one deserves it more than you.
Less than you.
Breaks that law every morning, probably.
Who hurts you, Ralph?
Son, it's just not right. Rich get richer. Oh, here's an interesting Tomcat sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise has been told by some sources close to Scientology that during the ceremony he's gonna have to give her a comb and a cat.
A comb and a cat
as part of their ceremony
during the wedding.
They say a traditional Scientology vow reveals the following bizarre demands. Girls need clothes and food and tender happiness and frills and a comb and perhaps a cat.
What? That's not possible.
That's what it says.
Well, that's stupid.
It's part of the ceremony that those
home and a cat.
That vow is repeated. Girls need clothes and food and tender happiness and frills and a comb, perhaps a cat.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
If you are, if you know about this, please email us and let us know what the details are on that exactly.
Here's your comb. Here's your cat, Katie. Happy wedding. By now, you've probably seen the clip on the internet that is purported to be part of the Britney Spears sex video. It has since been proven to be a hoax.
Oh.
It's not her eating the sausage, so to speak.
I know that one wasn't, but isn't he still claiming that he has one that no one's seen?
Yeah, and I'm talking about the one that's been on the internet that everyone's been forwarding around and sharing with each other.
I choose to believe that one just because I want to.
They say it still exists, but we haven't seen any of it yet. Should it be released, internet insiders saying the video on internet alone could bring in as much as $200 million.
Oh, my God.
That's, he would never consider not releasing that then.
One of them tells Star Magazine that should it then go to DVD, it would easily outsell Paris Hilton's infamous sex tape by a 4-to-1 margin. And, so we'll see.
Wow.
I think there's a better chance of it being released, frankly, because Us Weekly Magazine claims that Britney has screwed Kevin Federline pretty severely in the past couple weeks.
How?
He's broke because Britney's turned off his phone, his cell phone. She canceled that. She canceled all the credit cards.
Good.
She told him to get his own transportation and pay for his own hotel room while he's on tour with his BS appearances all over the country as well. The New York Page Six says he's so broke he went to a New York City strip club for dinner and asked for the food in the buffet to be put into a doggy bag so he could take it back to Ho's hotel. And he tried to sneak bottles of tequila and vodka out under his coat.
Well, wow. He deserves to be living like this.
That's good times.
He had the opportunity of a lifetime. All he had to do was just straighten up and fly ride for a little while, and he'd be living on Easy Street.
But his ego got in the way.
Yep. Oh, well.
David Blaine is back.
No.
Yes.
What's he going to do now? Stand and stare for 3 days?
He's actually going to try to do a trick.
A magic trick?
Yeah. He's doing a stunt in New York City where he's going to attempt to escape from shackles while he's dangling 4 stories above Times Square. He's doing this in conjunction with Target to draw attention to their 2-day sale.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Are you kidding?
I have a sponsor.
Just in time for the big department store holiday sale, he's going to be attracting people by dangling 4 stories above the store and trying to escape from shackles.
Huh. Isn't that little dog with a target over his eye enough to get our attention? Come on, why do they need a guy?
Dog. He's a great dog.
Yeah, that dog's cute. Why do they need a guy hanging over the store in shackles?
They should get the dog to try to get out of shackles.
Now we're talking.
That would be awesome.
Isn't the getting out of shackles magic bit, isn't that something that's done underwater? So if you don't do it fast enough, you die?
Well, he's doing it 400 feet in the air or something.
Yeah. Okay,
but that means too. If you do it, you drop to your death.
Is there any time pressure or anything? Or just
I'm sure that's not the goal of the trick, Lisa. I'm not exactly sure how it's working,
well,
I'm pretty positive the key isn't to plunge to your death.
The target sale begins immediately when he dies. That's how it works.
That'd be cool.
He has to hit the target when he falls.
Exactly.
Oh! Oh, you could be right, though. It could be like a trampoline or something underneath him.
Vanessa Minnillo
has
turned down Nick Lachey's marriage proposal, if you believe Star Magazine. They report that Vanessa doesn't want to rush into anything since Nick's only been divorced from Jessica Simpson for 4 months now. However, Nick wants to start a family, and he says he desperately wants to avoid being labeled as a playboy at age 33. Yeah, okay. That's a horrible distinction
that is rough.
To be slapped with, Nick. Huh. I can see your point. And yet, even more information about Anna Nicole Smith's baby's daddy. Please. Star Magazine talked to a woman named Lori Payne, who is a former friend of Anna's and a model in her own right. And she claims that she witnessed Anna taking antidepressants and methadone during the 5th month of her pregnancy.
Oh, no.
Isn't that what her son was killed by?
No, the baby had just been born when the son died.
I know, but wasn't he taking methadone?
Antidepressants. There had been rumors she had been taking methadone for some time, and but not during the pregnancy. Right. She said she witnessed her taking it while she was carrying the baby.
Who would that surprise?
She also admitted to Anna that she'd had a miscarriage prior to Daniel Lynn's birth, her most recent baby, and that photographer Larry Burkhead is the father of the newborn daughter. When Lori Payne, asked her if she was in a relationship with her lawyer, Howard K. Stern, Anna reportedly replied, "Ooh, gross, I would never."
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true.
By the way, I believe that, too.
I believe all of that.
No way. I think she's lying totally.
And by now, you must have seen the commercials. Fox News is announcing that they're planning to run a special with O.J. Simpson on November 27th and 29th to wrap up November TV sweeps for the network. The basis of the interview, if I did it.
Yep.
Here's how it would go. The same basic premise as the O.J. Simpson book that he's writing. O.J. will detail the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown, and her friend Ron Goldman in a hypothetical what-might-have-happened scenario.
He can't be charged again, right?
No.
No.
So
he
could actually,
also can't he be
could
paid.
Actually, he could actually come out and say, I killed them, right? And there would be no...
He never would, but he certainly could, yes. Double indemnity.
But what about the money? I mean, if he gets paid, doesn't that go right to
double
the Browns?
Double jeopardy, rather. I'm sorry. What?
The money. If he were to get paid, that would go right to the Browns.
No word on the pay situation regarding this book or this interview. I don't believe he's being paid for the interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he's not. But I will tell you, I don't think this interview will air either.
Really?
I think there will be enough media pressure on Fox that they'll eventually pull the plug on it.
How much do you want to bet? $100, I say, goes on the
air. I think it will, too.
You know, I'm kind of cheap when it comes to wagers.
When it comes to wagers, when it comes to life,
cheap in all ways.
I don't know how much money I'm willing to put on it, but I'll be surprised all if right. this one flies.
Forget
I really
money.
Will.
Let's do credits. Let's do just 20 credits.
You're backing off your story pretty quick there, aren't
you,
Mr. Baxter?
I still feel as strongly. I just am not willing to lose money on it if I'm wrong.
Didn't Grandma send you a fiver and a card for your birthday yesterday that you can spring with? Come on.
I'll think about that. We'll revisit that later. But I can't imagine Fox can get away with that. I mean,
why?
You know how polarizing OJ is.
Yes, exactly. That's why they want to do it.
But I understand why they want to do it.
It'll get huge numbers.
Yeah, who would not watch?
Well, I think advertisers and stockholders and all the other people who who really look at him as a pariah Cha-ching. Do not want to contribute to raising his profile and giving him a platform to speak.
That's true. And Fox is known as the barometer of good taste in the broadcasting industry. So
they
I
are practically 60
now.
Minutes. You're
they
right.
are the Tiffany Network. So I can see being why you would choose to believe that. Yeah.
Let's just say I'll be surprised if it ends up airing.
If I did it.
People who have seen the early galleys of the book, by the way, that he's working on, before it's gone to press, say the detail in which he goes into is, and their quote is, chilling.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you can only imagine.
Well, he would know.
It's almost like he was there.
If he did it. Yeah. If.
Big if.
Guys, if. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ed Asner, who played Lou Grant on the old Mary Tyler Moore Show. Mm-hmm. Most recently, he's been on Studio 60 in the Sunset Strip.
Oh, yeah.
So good as the head of that network over there.
He is good.
77 years old today. Another very talented actor, Sam Waterston, who plays ADA Jack McCoy over there on Law & Order. He's 66 years old today. Kevin Eubanks, band leader of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He's 49 years old today. Huge Eagles fan, that Kevin Eubanks.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's always wearing Eagles hats.
He can't be right on everything.
Come on! And Chad Kroger, singer for Nickelback, turns... What? Get a look from the whore. Come on, you got to give Nickelback some love.
The horror was working in the corner and just turned around
and spun around, gave me the look of death.
Stared Ralph down.
Come on.
It is shocking how popular they are. They are still one of the biggest rock bands in America.
No, it's a big band. Back off, whore.
That is absolutely incorrect.
What's the matter? What's your complaint?
What are you going to do, Creed's birthday next? Freaking Nickelback shout out on K-Rock.
I agree. I'm with assistant producer whore.
Chad is 32 years old today. And all you Nickelback fans, that's alex@krock.com. alex@krock.com. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And how to dye your pubes. Apparently that's a need that was out there. Is some new dye to dye down there. What's up with that, Lisa?
Well, I've never dyed down there, but if I were thinking about it, I'd be a little worried about using regular hair dye because I don't know if it would be too harsh or not.
Well, maybe you better try it. I mean, we should try it out.
I got nothing to dye.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
I need a moment. 610 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. This email begins. I'm not a fan of yours. Now, that's the kind of email you want to start with right there.
Yep.
We got a non-K-Rock listener named Maria on the line who's calling in to complain now that her husband likes the show, she hates it, and it sounds to me like it's creating a wedge in their marriage, and we can't have that. Maria, are you there? Good morning.
Yes, I am. Good morning.
And your husband, Andy. Andy, hi. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Maria, what's the deal? What prompted you to sit down at your keyboard yesterday and send off this email?
Well, the night before, he was on your website trying to show me Kevin and Bean.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin and Bean, look, Kevin and Bean. Mm-hmm. And he made my son get off the website so he can be on K-Rock.
Okay.
Has this been a consistent problem for a while or what?
Yes.
So
he's not allowed to listen to K-Rock in my car.
Because you don't like it?
Exactly.
What is it that you don't like exactly, Maria? And then we'll move on.
He pays too much attention to you guys.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it's like, you know what? It's like that with me with the Beatles, for example. I'm not a huge Beatles fan. I don't like their music very much, so I turn the station. Right. But everybody talking about it all the time makes it worse. Beatles this, Beatles that. All right. I don't like them. You don't want to be driven crazy by something that you're not a big fan of.
Sure.
Yes.
So he's driving you nuts. Okay.
Yes, he is.
All right, Andy, I'd like to hear from your perspective what's really going on here, because clearly Maria's lying to us.
Yeah, she is. You know, every morning when I go to work, I listen to you guys. So, yeah. I listen to all these funny skits, and I come home, and I say, hey, you know what, today on Kevin and Bean, I heard this funny skit. Oh, you and that Kevin and Bean, you better stop listening to it.
What's the response that you normally get from Maria when you try to tell her what happened?
She turned her back and walked away from me.
Wow. How about that?
Let me just ask one follow-up. Has it ever occurred to you that she doesn't want to know about our show?
Exactly.
Well, I think
Kevin is suggesting is maybe you know it's a sore subject with her. Maybe don't bring up K-Rock or Kevin and Bean to her.
But he uses our kids, too.
What?
He uses our kids.
What do you mean he uses your kids?
He sends the kids to get stickers at Tower Records, McDonald's, and he doesn't only get one. He wants 20 stickers.
Well, that's cool.
And then what does he do with them?
He puts them in the glove compartment. He puts one in the back window of his truck.
Well, so what's wrong with that?
Why does he need 20 in his glove?
Who cares? unless he's putting one on you, I don't understand.
No.
I tried that already.
Yeah, Andy, you might think about those fit over the mouth nicely, Andy.
No. Now, I will say this, by the way.
Yes.
We're not that funny, and then to have someone else try to repeat what we did that wasn't that funny is really not that funny.
Yeah, that's,
I can imagine this is not real amusing.
That is
her.
A downfall, yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. Andy, I want to hear, Maria brought up something that I was concerned about. Did you really kick your boy off the computer so that you could go to krock.com? Did that really happen the way she described it?
Yeah, but it wasn't the way she described it.
Children need to learn, right? Firm hand.
Exactly, yeah. I just asked them nicely.
Yeah, you asked them nicely, okay.
Maria, besides how annoying your husband is to you, and I can totally understand that, what is it about the Kevin and Bean show that makes it something that you wouldn't enjoy listening to? What are we doing wrong for you, Maria?
Nothing. It's just like he repeats you guys all the time. Kevin this, Kevin that. Kevin and Bean said this. Kevin and Bean said that.
Yeah.
So it's like...
All right. Here's idea number one, Andy. Quote okay. Big Boy. Even if we did it, just say Big Boy did this.
All right.
Okay?
That sounds good. You know, she likes to listen to the other guy, you know, Ryan...
Oh, God. So, well, there's
real. You listen to Ryan Seacrest, or we can't help you then?
Yeah.
Well, I don't listen to Ryan Seacrest.
Well, who do you listen to then, Maria?
I don't have a favorite station. I just change channels all the time.
Okay, I got you. So he's just driving you crazy with talking about our show.
You'd probably like us if he'd shut up.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maria, you do say in your email, I do admit that I like that Asian guy, Doto.
Yes, I do.
She's got taste.
Doto is the one part of our show that she likes, Bean.
Yeah.
That's it.
That makes me feel very proud for the hard work we put into the rest of it. I'll tell you that. All right, here's the way it's going to go. Here's what we need to tell you as we run out of time here this morning on the Kevin and Bean
show. Maria, does he ever call out Lisa May's name while you're having sex?
No, but he talks about her.
While you're having sex? Not while you're having sex.
No.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Because that would be bad.
You are an awesome fan, and we are grateful to have you, and we are appreciative of you, and we're going to make sure if we have any left, I don't know if we do, if we have any, we're going to make sure to send you a Kevin and Bean t-shirt for being on with us here today. But I think Maria has a good point, and I think Kevin put his finger on it. It's not even that she hates our show so much. She's just tired of hearing about it. And I think you got to respect that, dude. I really do think you just got to back up. It needs to just be something you enjoy, and maybe you have some other friends that you can talk to about K-Rock, but maybe you should just leave your poor sweet wife out of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's what to do, Andy. Make it sound like it's your idea, like you came up with it. Don't quote us. Just say, hey, I was thinking today. And she'll be laughing. She'll think you're witty. That'll be awesome, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Maria, do you like it when Will Valderrama does those K-Fed songs?
Oh.
Do you like that? No?
Oh, yeah. He's funny.
You like that? Okay, good.
The Federlisi songs? Okay. Right, yeah, because Pez does those for us. He's good.
He's good.
All right, Andy, so we're all straight now. You got it down. You know what we're doing here, right?
Yeah, I'm cool.
You keep listening, cool. But leave her out of it because she clearly has bad taste.
Oh, I will.
I mean, because she doesn't want to be driven crazy.
Exactly. And Maria, we really appreciate the email. We're glad you decided to come on with us. We love you too, all right?
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Bye now.
Let's check in with our old pal Bob Dylan, one of the most acclaimed musical geniuses of the 20th and 21st century, on the line back with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Andy.
How are you today?
I'm good. You didn't say love the wintertime.
Hmm? What?
I love the wintertime.
You love the wintertime.
Yeah.
Wow, Bean's starting to speak Bob.
Yeah, that's scary.
How about that?
Yeah, kiss the meg.
Bean? Exactly. Hey, Bob, he's talking about the crisp air.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Hey, good.
Wow.
Bob, are you surprised lately when anyone can't understand what the hell you're trying to say? Because it seems like you're...
No, I understand. I'm saying nothingly. There's everyone in there. No one's saying.
Here's what I love about satellite radio is that they see a guy like Bob Dylan who really you can't make out what he's saying, and they say that's the guy we got to give a radio show to.
Not a word. Now, the theme time radio hour is
good time lemonade hour.
No, it's the theme time radio hour. That's
good time popcorn hour.
Nope, that's not it.
Happy time, happy hour.
Bob picks a theme and then plays music that relates to that theme and tells stories about that theme.
Yeah.
So, what is the theme this week, Bob?
This week, legendary out of film. Jane Dimes.
God, I have no idea what you just said.
Say it again, Bob.
Legendary star of film, Jane Dimes.
James John?
Jane Vaughn.
Oh, yes, of course.
Really? Now, Bob, that's what he was saying?
Brand new movie this Friday.
Because the new Casino Royale with Daniel Craig as James Bond, the new 007 film, opens Friday, so there's a tie-in to what you're doing on your show. Now I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah, the new James Bond on Friday is gay.
I'm sorry, he's gay?
No, he looks gay.
He looks great.
Okay.
Okay, so... What are you playing on your show then? You playing some of the great James Bond theme songs throughout the years?
Oh, the James Bond movies, the best stars doing some great things. Get them down. Get them in the glass, put them all together. Hey?
Okay.
If you say so.
Yes.
That is their song.
Well, that's a theme, yeah.
Bob, there are no words to that song, though. You know that, right?
How can you sing with a song that has no words?
The clip's over, Bob.
And it is on the song you gotta say. Yeah, Duran Duran.
That's Duran Duran.
I never pictured Bob Dylan playing a Duran Duran record on the radio. I got to be honest.
View to a Kill.
View to a Kill, right.
Right.
Another great James Bond.
This is a famous song with Madonna.
What are you doing? Do you not know any of the words to Die Another Day?
No, I'm just guessing.
I don't think I know that song either.
I don't either.
That's odd. It wasn't the best clip.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotta talk to the staff.
Yeah.
And then this is the famous one of God with Albino. Live and let die.
Let me hear you say live and let die.
And let die.
That's as close as we're going to get, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
And then the most famous of all them, I think this one.
Goldfinger, sure.
I think it's time for Bob to release his own album of Bob themes. Bob, what are you doing?
Bob, how come? Why don't you sing words anymore, Bob? It is 6:38 right now. We have tickets for the American Music Awards.
Yeah, our pal Jimmy Kimmel is going to be hosting at the Shrine Auditorium this coming Tuesday. And by the way, we will be speaking with Jimmy sometime next week about that award show. I always love it, Ralph, when we debut a new game. It's kind of like being in the crowd that sees an experimental aircraft try to take off for the first time. You know, there's like a 50-50 chance it's not going to get off the ground.
But this thing is time-tested and proven. If it goes poorly, that's us. It's on us.
Well, it's always on us, Ralph.
No, that's true. No, sometimes the games blow. Sometimes the games are horrible.
Okay.
You know, like Whistle the Hits was never a smash TV game show.
Kids are still asking for Whistle the Hits.
They're asking not to play it.
Yeah. You're so
even
wrong.
Even if it were perfectly executed, Whistle the Hits had no chance of being a success.
That's what you're saying. But this thing has been done before and done successfully, so it might just be us.
All right, let's get both contestants on the line and let's describe the game to them. Mike is 22 from Ontario. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning,
Welcome
Mike.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. And Amber is also 22 from Long Beach. Good morning, Amber.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Amber.
Mike and Amber, today we're going to play the match game. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
All right, I'll explain to you how it goes. I am going to read you a story, and I am going to leave a blank somewhere in the story. What you need to do is try to choose what would be the optimum fill-in for that blank, okay? And then we're going to go around the room, ask Kevin, Bean, and Lisa what they would have chosen to fill in that blank. And for each of them that you match with, you will get a point.
So you're not looking for a correct answer. You're looking for the answer that most of us will match you with.
You're trying to find the definitive answer you think will probably fit in there best. And then the most matches that you get a point for each of those. And we're going to play two rounds. And whoever has the most matches at the end of those two rounds will win the tickets to the American Music Awards.
All right?
Okay.
All right, Amber, we talked to you second, so you get to choose. You want to go first or second?
Second.
Okay, Mike, we're going to start with you. Okay, here's your question. Gladys the stripper was so ugly that when she went on stage, instead of dollar bills, the audience threw blank at her.
Pennies.
You're not supposed to guess yet.
You're going to think about that. Then we're going to go around the room and see what Kevin, Bean, and Lisa had to say. We're going to let them make up their mind first, and then we come back to you.
All right. Pennies was a funny answer, but we're going to throw that out. We're going to give you another chance to answer. Keep it to yourself, then the three of us will answer. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. When some people have a baby, they bronze the baby's shoes. When Dumb Dora had a baby, she bronzed the baby's blank. Now hold on to it. Don't answer yet. We're going to let Kevin, Bean, and Lisa think about their answers. They're going to write them down, and when they have their answers locked in, we'll come back to you, Mike, okay?
I'm done.
You're done?
Okay.
Bean?
Done, yes.
Finished.
Lisa?
All right.
Okay. Blanket.
Hold on.
No, I'm sorry. I thought I wanted my answer. Oh, no, I screwed it up again.
No, he's already got his answer, right?
No, he didn't say
he
it
hasn't
yet.
Said his answer yet.
Okay, I can change mine.
For God's sake,
I'm
sakes,
so sorry.
Lisa.
I thought he wanted my answer when he said my name.
No, I just want to make sure you had your answer written down.
Do you want me to change it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I changed it.
Okay, Mike.
How do you guys feel just early in the first round? How do you feel it's going so far?
No, we're going to get it.
When some people have a baby, they bronze the baby's shoes. When Dumb Dora had a baby, she bronzed the baby's what, Mike?
Diapers.
She bronzed the baby's diapers. All right, see how many matches you, Kevin. Kevin, what did you say?
Ass.
Bronze the baby's ass. That's not a match. Okay. Bean?
As you can see from my paperwork, I said feet. Bronze the baby's feet.
See, that would be dumb. That would be dumb of her. That might be the definitive answer. Lisa?
I put head.
Head. So none of us put diapers, right, so there's no match.
No matches for you.
All right.
Not your fault at all. I think the stars may have let you down on that
one. I'm saying they have to guess what we're going to say. Here we go.
All right, let's go to Amber now. Amber, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here's your question. Weird Willie is really sick. Last year, he hung up a Christmas stocking with blank in it. All right, we're going to let... hold on a second. We're going to let Kevin, Bean, and Lisa write down their answers. We're going to wait for them to finish up. You guys done?
Hey, I'm set. Yes, sir.
Everybody ready?
Yep.
Okay. Here you go, Amber. Weird Willie is really sick. Last year, he hung up a Christmas stocking with blank in it.
Vomit?
With vomit in it.
I see where she went with that.
Okay, that's interesting.
She's thinking the same way I am. I put poop.
Poop. All right, not a match, but close. Bean, how about you?
I'm sorry to say I had anthrax, Ralph.
Anthrax.
What do we have? Ralph, what do we have? No matches throughout the whole game because nobody can think like us.
Lisa, what were you going to say?
I put poo.
Poo would have been a good one.
I would think that leg or foot would be the definitive answer.
Maybe.
Because of stocking.
We're not asking you for your answer.
You're
so
good at this.
I'm just saying. All right, so it's 0-0.
No matches. All right.
So far, so good.
We go back to Mike. Here you go, Mike. At the circus last night, I saw a contortionist known as the human pretzel. Before he goes on stage, he insists that he be covered in blank. All right, we're going to let Lisa and Bean and Kevin write down their answers.
I'm set.
Everybody set?
No, I'm thinking.
Okay. Last night at the circus, I saw a contortionist known as the human pretzel. Before he goes on stage, he insists that he be covered in blank. Okay. We good? Okay. Mike, what do you say?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. All right. Chocolate. Covered in chocolate. Sure, there's chocolate-covered pretzels, right?
Yeah.
Kevin, what did you say?
Nothing came to my head, so I put poop again.
Poop.
Now, does he get half a point for chocolate?
No, I'm sorry. Bean, what do you say?
I am going to be happy to say that Mike and I are the same wavelength. As you'll notice, I wrote down the word chocolate.
Yeah. Look at that! We got a match!
How about that?
And Lisa, what did you say?
Mustard.
Mustard. I think mustard probably the definitive answer there. Good one, Lisa. chocolate. We have one match, Mike. Now, Amber, I'm going to ask you your second question. You have to get at least two matches in order to beat Mike and win the tickets, okay?
Okay.
All right, here's your question. I think Dave, the King of Mexico, is narcoleptic. Last night, he brought home a girl who said she wanted to sleep with him. Instead of pulling out a condom, he pulled out a blank.
Okay.
I think Dave, the King of Mexico, is narcoleptic. He brought home a girl last night who said she wanted to sleep with him. Instead of pulling out a condom, he pulled out a blank. We wait for Kevin and Bean and Lisa to get their answers locked in.
Line?
All set?
Lisa?
Yes.
Locked in. Okay. Amber, what's your answer? Dave, the King of Mexico, I think he's narcoleptic. He brought a girl home last night who said she wanted to sleep with him. Instead of pulling out a condom, he pulled out a...
Pillow.
Good answer. Pillow. I think that might be the definitive answer. Let's see if you get any matches. Kevin, I guess from Lisa's going,
you said poo Lisa. Again, Kevin. I swear to God.
Kevin, no, what'd you say?
Roofie.
Roofie.
Yeah. Right. Actually, one for both of them.
I see.
So they could rest.
Because he's, you see, he would sleep.
Yeah.
Right. See, there you go. Bean, what did you say?
Amber and I have pillow.
Pillow!
Look at that.
It's a tie.
It should worry Mike and Amber that they're matching Bean's mind.
Hey, I'm trying to think the way the listener would think. I'm trying to help them win.
Job. That's a tie. Let's see if Lisa can break that tie. What was your answer, Lisa?
No, I had sleep mask.
Sleep mask?
You know, what is it?
Who's ever heard of
you're
a sleep mask?
You're horrible at this game. You're horrible.
You know, Lisa, it's funny. I thought sleep mask and thought, nope, pillow makes more sense. Pillow would be easier for somebody to come up with.
So, all right, we're tied. Right, what do we do?
We're tied. We got one more round then. All right. We're going to go to the tiebreaker round, okay?
Ooh, very tense. Very tense.
Back to Mike. Here we go. Mike, I just heard about the world's strangest Indian tribe. Instead of passing around a peace pipe, they pass around a blank pipe. Instead of passing around a peace pipe, they pass around a blank pipe.
Hmm. All right, done.
Everybody done. Got their answers locked in?
Yes.
Mike, I just heard about the world's strangest Indian tribe. Instead of passing a peace pipe, they pass a blank pipe.
A meth pipe.
A meth pipe. All right, meth would be the answer there. Let's see how our stars answered. Kevin, what do you say?
Poop. No, poop. I'm just kidding. I said crack.
Crack pipe.
Yeah.
Ooh, is that a match? Meth, crack?
Not really,
don't
no.
I think so.
No, I don't think so either.
No, the 909ers would be up in arms if we gave that a match. I'm sorry.
Bean, your answer?
I had hash pipe, Rob.
Hash pipe, another good answer.
Right,
yes.
Lisa,
what'd you say?
I had lead pipe.
Lead pipe, another good answer. There are a lot of good answers available there. Okay,
Mike, unfortunately,
no matches for you. Amber, you need to match one of our celebrity stars in order to win this game, okay?
Okay.
Here's your answer. Did you hear what happened to the 102-year-old lady at the department store?
Poop.
She...
Sorry.
She lost her blank in the revolving door. She lost her blank in the revolving door. Did you hear what happened to the 102-year-old lady at the department store? She lost her blank in the revolving door. Stars, you all locked in?
Yep.
All right.
Lisa?
Amber, yes. What is your answer?
Ask.
Lost her ass in the revolving door. It's
ass.
Funny. I like it. Let's see if you matched any of our stars. Kevin, what do you say?
Depends.
Depends. Oh,
see, her diaper.
Good. Diaper,
see?
102 right. years old. Makes sense.
Lisa? Sure.
Lisa, what did you say?
Teeth.
Teeth. Teeth. Oh, another good answer.
Bean, tell us you have ass.
Bean?
Ass, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at
ass!
That!
Unbelievable.
Amber, congratulations. You're our big winner. You've got tickets for the American Music Awards.
Yes!
Being hosted by our boy Jimmy Kimmel. Congratulations. Stay on the line. We'll give you all the details.
Awesome. Nicely done. Sorry, Mike.
Sorry, Mike. Right. Played a good game.
Bean came up with ass.
He did. Who would have thought?
At least Kevin didn't say poop.
Right now, Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Speaking of details starting to unfurl, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes getting married this weekend. Reportedly, it's going to be this Saturday, the 18th. USA Today has an interesting story on the Cruise-Holmes nuptials. Apparently, they say the couple's high-profile wedding and release of all the surrounding details and hoopla may be an attempt to curry favor with women by Tom. Mm.
Oh, man.
He's been unpopular lately with the ladies, and so this might refurbish his reputation with women if he shows himself to be a romantic and to have a high-profile wedding like this.
That's interesting, because he's done lots of really romantic things, but with such a creepy way that I guess he's turning people off.
That's what they've been saying, that women have been creeped out and losing interest in him as a performer because of his bizarre antics the past year or so. So this could all be very calculated on his part. We're starting to look at the guest list as well. Oprah Winfrey was not invited to the wedding. Can you imagine? If you're jumping all over her furniture, he wouldn't have the decency to send her an invite.
I thought she turned on him and said he was acting weird. And, I mean, I don't think she stayed his friend.
I don't know the backstory behind it. But, interestingly, Brooke Shields was invited to the wedding.
What?
And will be going.
She and Katie are pals now.
How about that? No word on whether the famous Tom stalker Rosie O'Donnell will be invited or not, but...
You know, the other thing I can think is, Tom is very, very wealthy, but who can afford to feed Oprah at a wedding reception?
That's true. Or Rosie, for that matter.
Yeah. Whole other cake and everything you got to work on.
I mentioned this last hour, but I love it so much I'm going to talk about it again. Some sources are claiming that Tom Cruise will be told to provide Katie with a cat and a comb during their Scientology wedding service in Italy this weekend.
A cat and a comb.
They claim a traditional Scientology vow of wedding... claims that he must follow the bizarre demands thusly. Girls need clothes and food and tender happiness and frills and a comb, perhaps a cat. And so he needs to give her a symbolic comb and a cat during the ceremony.
That can't possibly be.
That would be the greatest thing ever.
I want it to be true.
Look, it's a crazy religion.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well... could have written anything.
It's a crazy cult. I don't know that I call it a religion.
Isn't there something that a wedding tradition in other weddings about something borrowed and something blue? Don't we have something like that as well?
Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Yeah. That's the big four.
They're not living creatures. What are they going to snatch some wild cat off the streets of Rome?
I want it to be so. I want some guy, some big pompous guy up there reading the vows.
Ralph Gumman, this is Gene Simmons here.
Yes, Gene Simmons.
I'm curious. Isn't it usually the woman's responsibility to give up the kitty come wedding time?
I believe it is, Gene Simmons.
For once, not talking to Lisa.
How about that?
Girls need clothes and food and tender happiness and frills and a comb, perhaps a cat.
That's how I want the ceremony to go. It's going to be awesome. Madonna starting some feuds in the wake of all the criticism about her adoption of that Malawi baby. She slighted Gwen Stefani after Gwen sent her over a gift of baby clothes from Lamb.
Yeah.
She turned them down because she said that she felt Gwen only did it to get publicity. Can you imagine Madonna accusing someone of doing something just to get publicity?
That's what Madonna said.
That's right. What she said.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, in an interview with Time Magazine, she slammed Angelina Jolie. Saying, look, I could have joined the UN and become an ambassador and visited various countries and just kind of showed up and smiled, but that's not getting to the root of the problem.
And she's getting to the root of the problem how?
By adopting them one at a time.
She built an orphanage.
Yes, she did. But it doesn't mean that Angelina Jolie and Nicole Kidman, who are both goodwill ambassadors for the UN, aren't doing
good works. No, and they've given a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with her?
I don't know what's up her butt these days, but there you go. And very exciting... the brand new Angelina Jolie statue being unveiled today at the Venetian in Las Vegas. The Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. The new wax Angelina Jolie available today at the Venetian.
Hmm.
I'm going to Vegas this weekend. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to check her out.
Think you're
going
to get access to it?
Dude.
Without security?
I'm going to melt her. You know what I'm saying?
You have to try, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to melt her right there where it counts. You know what I'm saying? And lastly, Fox has announced they're going to run a two-part interview on November 27th and 29th with Mr. Orenthal James Simpson.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
He is going to be talking about his new book called If I Did It. where he gives hypothetical details about what might have happened should he have actually murdered his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ron Goldman.
I wonder where he might have put the knife.
If they committed 100 crimes, if they committed 100 murders, how could anybody be against that?
That's right.
That's a good point.
How can anyone be against that? Bean doesn't think Fox is going to air the interview. Yeah, I say full steam ahead.
Oh, no question.
Guess we'll see how it plays out.
I guess we will. I guess we will.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised by anything they put on television anymore, but it seems like OJ has been the one pariah that we can all agree on deserves no voice in society.
Yes.
It just surprises me that this would happen.
Well, I think we all agree on that, but then there's television. That's very different from society.
Exactly. You have the wrong idea of TV, Bean.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Judge Wapner. Remember him from People's Court?
Yeah.
Good old Judge Wapner. Still alive. 87 years old today. I love Judge Wapner.
He was great.
He was great. Ed Asner, famous actor, of course, played Lou Grant for many years on television. Now he's currently on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Good episodes the past couple weeks. Have you seen the ones with John Goodman, who plays judge?
Yeah. John Goodman is good in everything.
He's awesome. Yeah, it was really fun stuff. Ed Asner's 77 years old today. Sam Waterston plays Jack McCoy in Law and Order. I think he's the only guy who's been on that show forever, since the beginning. Actually, he wasn't the first guy on there. I stand corrected. Anyway, he's 66 years old today.
Beverly, I like when Ralph corrects himself.
It just dawned on me that Michael Moriarty was the first DA on that show.
You're going to go email yourself and say, this report is dead?
Wrong, a-hole! You should do some research before you shoot your mouth off. Michael Moriarty was the first district attorney on Law and Order. You're an ass. I hate you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I am never listening again. K-Rock's off my presets.
She'd be surprised how many we get those.
Here's the kind of emails I get.
How many times?
Beverly D'Angelo, actress from the Vacation movie. She was Chevy Chase's wife in all those movies. Sure. 51 years old today. And Kevin Eubanks, band leader for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, turns 49. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're very excited this time of year. There's so much cool stuff going on. The 2007 K-Rock calendar is in stores right now. And starting next Tuesday, it's Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas, our holiday CD.
Woo! 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 Bean, I need a little more read on the title of the CD.
You didn't really give it its due.
I don't have access to the fancy echo that you
guys
have.
But you have access to your voice and to your imagination and your mind.
Let me try it again. And we're very excited this time of year because this Tuesday, it's the release of Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas!
Jeez, Nick. Oh. Nick the sign holder jumped in for Bean.
too much?
Maybe a bit.
No, just enough.
Maybe just a bit. We on the morning show all have secret powers, don't you know? And Santa Claus needs help, and we're the ones to help. And Stan Lee, who created a lot of comic super book heroes,
Let him listen to our CD to see what he thought of our comic book heroes that we created for the morning show.
And we can't tell what he thinks, but see what you think.
I had absolutely nothing to do with these so-called superheroes from the Kevin and Bean show. I mean, talk about a bunch of window lickers.
Hey,
come on.
Wait a minute.
Special K?
Yeah.
Beanbutt?
Yes.
The pet parent?
Yes.
I've never seen a lamer bunch of costumed losers in my life.
Well, I don't think that went.
I think he liked them.
The guy who created Spider-Man, X-Men, and Fantastic Four is not willing to co-sign Super Whore? Is that what you're telling me?
I guess not. He's not big on roid rage.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Maybe we didn't do things up to his standards, but there are also other appearances on the CD that you hear throughout the years.
It was a dark night this one time, and I was all done scraping out all the paraphernalia out of every pipe in the party box.
Mole makes an appearance.
Oh, Mole's Christmas.
I bet he wasn't invited either.
No, he was not. No, as a matter of fact. One of the bands that play the Warped Tour, Cartel, is on there singing an old classic.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
We have something for you from Family Guy. If you're a fan of that show,
sure.
Which we are huge fans of that show.
Come on down to Cleveland's Deli for a wide array of holiday meats and cheeses and other treats like nut balls.
I love Cleveland. He's my man.
He's awesome. There are 35 tracks on this year's Kevin and Bean Christmas CD, and it is only $6.99.
It really is star-studded this year. We've got Will Ferrell, who does Ricky Bobby, doing a special Christmas wish to the baby Jesus, his favorite of all the Jesuses. Kevin Smith gives you guys a special warm Christmas story, which is very exciting.
He does.
We've got a ton of great music this year. I really think this is our best CD ever.
I do, too.
It's been really... Harvey Levin, Harvey the Hammer from TMZ makes an appearance.
And what's cool is all of these people do it for free. None of them charge us. The bands, nobody charges us. So basically, that's why we can sell it for $6.99, and the proceeds go to charities.
Right.
So that's very cool. Also, we have on the CD, She Wants Revenge.
Look around, place a crown on the sky.
Great tune.
It's nice to know, since everything was donated, that every CD you buy takes money out of Paul Simon's pocket.
Oh.
He doesn't get royalties for that song, right?
Why you got to come at Paul like that?
I'm just saying, it's weird to think that the K-Rock Lister could take money out of Paul Simon's pocket, but they can do it.
The great Mr. T.
Now, you know, normally I pity fools, but at Christmas time, I'm not going to pity anybody.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. T.
Oh, that's nice gesture on his part at the holidays.
And we also have both parts of Blink-182. We have Plus 44. As I shoot my eyes from my
That's awesome. That's Mark and Travis's band, of course, Plus 44. And then we got the other half. We got Tom DeLonge and his band with a song that's only available on Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas, Angels and Airwaves. Snow has
come down on top of everything. Come on, people. $6.99. How great is that?
Such a deal.
I'm really excited about this year's Christmas CD. 35 tracks. It comes out Tuesday.
Should we talk about Tuesday, speaking
this
of
This coming
which?
Tuesday. Let's do, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a special Kevin and Bean Super Christmas live show. Well, we will be doing a live broadcast at the Signal Hill Best Buy.
Best Buy!
Best Buy!
Wow.
At 2701 Cherry Ave in Signal Hill, which is right near Long Beach. And after the live broadcast, we're going to have the signings. If you want to come down and get your Christmas CD signed by everybody here on the morning show, we'll be doing signings right after the special broadcast. We've got a live performance by OK Go. They're performing on the CD this year.
Right.
And we'll all be down there, and you can buy your CDs right down there at the Best Buy and come out and see the show. And then afterwards, we're going to stick around and sign them for everybody.
This is the only event that we're doing for the signing and everything. So this is it. Tuesday, the day it comes out, the 21st of November, all Southern California Best Buy stores, and you can go to krock.com and get all of the information on the live show, on the CD. You can hear some clips online, everything. And then Tuesday, the 21st, you can go out and get it. Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com.
I love Harvey. He's one of my favorite black Jews in Hollywood. I'm always excited to have him on the program. Harvey, welcome, and thanks again for your contribution to Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas. You are great on the CD this year, man.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, good morning, guys. You're going to be very happy.
Good morning, Harvey.
Harvey, we love having you on from TMZ.com because you keep tabs on all the great celebrity gossip and news that's going on, and there's so much. I mean, this is the golden age for the business that you're in. You picked the exact right time to launch TMZ.com, didn't you?
I just knew they would misbehave this year. 2006.
Let's start with Anna Nicole Smith and the power being turned off, because that's funny.
She basically rented this house, and she says she bought it, but she got it from a guy that she was sleeping with about a year ago, and he's about 68 years old. She tried to say that he was the father of the baby until he told her he had a vasectomy 2 years earlier.
Right.
It's always a problem. So then she decided she would just try to make nice to this guy and got him to let her live in the house in the Bahamas that he owned. Well, now she's saying she owns the house and she won't get out, so he turned the power off.
He flew down there, right? He flew down to the Bahamas.
Flew down there, turned the power off, and she is like ballistic, and she goes onto this balcony and she's saying, "I ain't never leaving. You ain't never gonna see this baby again." She's on
oh
the balcony.
My god, she's deluded.
By the way, like he wants to see the baby, it isn't his.
Exactly.
Harvey, why did this guy let her move into his house in the Bahamas?
Well, because he's 68 and she's, you know, a lot younger.
Yeah,
a former Playboy Playmate of the Year.
Exactly. Right. I mean, it seems to be her M.O. I mean, Howard Stern's the first guy she's allegedly involved with that isn't, you know, collecting Social Security.
Well, none of us believe that's happening anyway.
Right.
So,
right.
Whatever.
Why, we were discussing this yesterday, Harvey, maybe you can add to the conversation. Why is she so desperate to establish residency in the Bahamas? Why does she not want to just move back to Texas or California?
A really good question, and the people who are fighting her right now, especially the people who think that Howard Stern is not the father, they're saying that she wanted to get out of there because if she stayed in California, a judge might take that kid away because they might rule that she was an unfit mother.
Might?
Yeah.
That should be a given. Just look at her.
I think she knows it's a problem. and she got out of there. And she got out of there quick, and she doesn't seem like she wants to come back here.
Is he going to be able to kick her out of the house?
I think so.
Legally, yeah?
I think so. I mean, she doesn't really, she can't prove the deed is in his name.
Right.
And, you know, it makes her look like a grifter. So, I mean.
Hard to believe. How dare you talk badly about her?
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. It's not like there's a contract, though, or she's paying rent or anything like that. I mean, she's just basically there by the grace of the man who owns the home. And if he says you're not, it's like any other house guest. If I don't want you to stay in my house anymore, you got to go.
Anna Nicole taking advantage of an older guy.
Hard to believe. I know.
Hard to believe. We are speaking with Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com on the line if you're just joining us right now. Harvey, I know you've been deep into this one. You've been looking as hard as we have to find out if the Britney sex tape exists. What have you come up with?
You know, I don't think there's any proof it does right now. I mean, they've issued sworn declarations saying it doesn't. I'm not necessarily saying it doesn't, that there isn't one, but I think that the one that people are talking about is phony.
Well, the one that we've seen online,
I
think is clearly not her.
Yeah.
But the fact is that he says that in the first couple of weeks of the relationship, they were held up in the Beverly Hills Hotel, and he says he's got 4 hours of tape on them having sex and playing sex games and all kinds of different stuff.
But, you know,
but who says he says that, though?
If it exists, why would that really surprise you?
It wouldn't at all.
It wouldn't. I mean, let's face it. They lived their lives on camera in those first few weeks. That's what the Chaotic TV show was based on. All that UPN footage was them just shooting them, you know, shooting themselves, sitting around, smoking and eating and drinking and partying and everything else. I believe there is a sex tape, but do you believe that Kevin Federline would use it to try to blackmail his wife?
Yeah, let me tell you what's going on here.
Are you kidding? Yes.
I can tell you exactly what's going on
here. All right.
It's court-approved blackmail. What's happening is he's asked for custody of these kids, right? Because he knows that he can't get any money in the in terms of community property because he signed an airtight prenup.
Right.
And, he knows that he's up against this lawyer, Laura Wasser, who is not going to let him skate at all.
Right.
So he can't get money that way. So what he's doing is he's saying, I want custody of these kids, which is just ridiculous. But what he's going to do is he's going to say, you know, I've got all this evidence that you're an unfit mom, and they probably partied before they had kids,
right.
And she probably did things that she doesn't want made public.
Right.
And he's going to start one by one saying to her, you know, Brittany, you did this, and I don't want to make this public in the divorce, but I may have to unless we settle this. So she's going to end up having to throw money at him to make him go away. I think that's what this whole thing's about. It's blackmail.
Harvey, as an attorney, answer this question for me. He owns the tape. He shot the tape. But does he have to get...
If it exists,
would he have to get the permission of the other participants who are shown on the tape to release something like that if he wanted to sell it?
If it exists, that's not what this is about. I don't think this is about releasing the tape. I think this is about getting money from Britney Spears and saying, gee, I don't want to admit this as Exhibit A in the custody battle.
Right.
But, gee, I may have to. I think this is all about the money and the divorce.
I do, too. But if he comes around to the thinking that if he puts it out, he could make a lot more money, why wouldn't he?
Yeah, you know what? And that's been the game here, is that people have done that, and then they get sued. The problem is that a lot of times the people who sue don't have the means. It's the girlfriend of the celebrity. In this case, it's Britney. And she'll just hammer this guy.
Right. I hope so. I hope she hammered him on tape and it comes out.
We all get to watch.
That's what I want to see.
All right, last question for you, Harvey, because as usual, we're desperately short on time and we could talk to you all day long. Is it a snub that Oprah wasn't invited to the Tomcat wedding, or shouldn't we make a big deal of that?
Oh, I think it's such a snub. I think she's putting on such a good face. Don't you?
It's awesome.
I do.
I don't know, because I don't know how close of friends they are. I mean, if he's just a guest on her show once every couple of years, then they're not close enough to be invited to a wedding.
Hey, guys, can I just tell you two other quick things?
Yeah,
just
sure.
I mean, it's amazing. O.J. Simpson, you know this whole thing that he's going to say hypothetically how he did it?
If I did it.
What a killer. No, he is.
Yeah.
But in the next day or so, in fact, I think today, I'm going to write something in the website. O.J. Simpson visited the scene of the crime right after he got acquitted, and I caught him.
What?
I caught him, and I'm going to put this on the website. It's a whole thing about how I was showing somebody the alley behind the house, and he showed up behind the condo where he murdered them, and he showed up in a limo, and I chased him. But I'm going to put this all on the website. It's real. I'm going to just tell this today.
Did you chase him with a camera or just chase?
No. It was like on a Saturday night, and I had taken a friend over because she wanted to see what the murder scene looked like, and there was a limo there, and the limo just gunned it when they saw me. And this is when I was a reporter at Channel 2.
Right.
And it wasn't like one of these limos, which where sightseers were in there. And I just had a feeling. And we did this chase all around Brentwood. And he ended up running into the gate at Rockingham. I'm going to tell you, it's just an amazing it's just an amazing story. And he went
Harvey, is this how you used to get chicks, is take them to famous crime scenes all over town?
This is a cold-blooded killer that Harvey's chasing.
Right, exactly.
It's one of those deals where if he would have turned around and run after you, you would have run away from him.
Okay, now listen. One other thing, and I'm going to do this on Monday because you and I don't we don't talk until, you know, like once a week, right?
Right.
Okay. Seriously?
Yes.
On Monday?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, a huge entertainment icon, Bubbles the Monkey, and Two Enemas.
Oh.
Harvey.
I swear.
That's
a real story. A real story.
All right. We have to talk to you on Monday then, Harvey. We have to have you on Monday then. All right.
Okay, guys.
TMZ.com. Thank you,
Thanks,
Hammer.
Harvey.
Bye now. First, the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO, so that you can leave a message on any topic 24 hours a day, including one of Bean's favorite topics. Well, it would be if he could accomplish it. He's been dying to get on jury duty. And can never get called no matter what happens.
I just got selected for a jury duty service for the second time in 1 year. Booyaka!
All right. Now, before people email me, please understand, I have a driver's license, I own property, and I vote. Okay? I do all the things that I understand is where they go to select jury selection roles. So far, no luck.
I think they know who you are. You're not the peer of anyone, so they're not going to have you in there.
And by the way, this is a man who has lived in the state of Washington, the state of California, the state of Arizona, the state of Maryland, the state of Virginia. The man who has never in any of those states at any time, one time, been called for a jury.
And what's the common denominator in all of those stories?
It's me.
You.
It's
you. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. There are way too many of these days.
Hello, Kevin and the Bean. This is another Afroline caller making with the bad boy impression. I like the sex. High five.
At least he knows it's bad. At least he admits it's bad up front. We're starting to get a lot of response on this.
I don't know if Psycho Mike's noises and comments in the background, if those are like some kind of running joke that you guys have. But, dude, it's not funny, man. I'm serious. It's really not funny. It's
what should we
highly
do?
Annoying. I think you guys should just fire him, dude, straight up.
All right.
That's the end of it. Peace. You're out, Psycho Mike. Peace. You and Mario Lopez.
Well, that's just crossing the line.
How
dare.
You know,
let's fire him just because that guy said to. Wouldn't that be funny?
That would be awesome if that's how we made decisions based on one listener. For years, the Armenian comedian was the most hated person heard on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. Psycho Mike is starting to creep up on him, though.
Yeah, he's up there. He's already ahead of Doto. Just slightly behind the Armenian comedian. So everything's good. You don't always get through when you call K-Rock.
All circuits are busy. How do you like it?
Well, we weren't calling anyone, but I can feel your frustration. It's that time of year again, people.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you know what it's almost time for? This is a Butterball Hotline.
Oh, I can't wait. Are you kidding me? I can't wait.
The single least funny thing that we've ever done and continue to do.
The kids love it.
Bean makes us.
Hey, the kids, just calling to invite you over to my place to watch this new show I found on ABC the other night. It's called Tongues and Vaginas. It's got a great cast. It's got you, it's got me, and a box of Junior Mints. You should drop on by. I think you really like it.
I do like Junior Mints. How did he know?
I haven't heard of that show. That's odd. And one more offer.
Hey, Lisa May. Want a picture of my penis? Come on.
Lisa shy, so I'll answer for her. Yes, she does. Lisa at krock.com.
I have plenty, really.
Lisa,
thank you.
At krock.com. She loves to get pictures like
Here's
that.
Here's the funny
she
thing.
She doesn't
I'm
have enough. She
you.
Acts like she doesn't like it, but she really does.
Guys take pictures of their penises with their guts hanging out.
Oh.
They're not hot.
Okay,
tell you.
So hold your stomach down.
Hold your stomach in at least.
But do send the pictures. Thank you. 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day to leave a message.
Well, let's talk about Borat first, shall we?
Yes.
All right. Poor Borat. Sacha Baron Cohen running into more legal trouble, this time with the citizens of the Romanian village that stood in for Borat's native Kazakhstan in the hit movie.
He couldn't do it there because they hate him in Kazakhstan.
Right, and Kazakhstan isn't nearly as impoverished and as brutally surrounding as he would like to have portrayed. He thought it was funnier to have people having, you know, like, barnyard animals in their homes and stuff.
Right,
he thought that
right.
was funny.
Giant
so
cow.
He went to the gypsy village of Glod.
Glod.
By the way, Glod used to be a character on Fastlane, I think, didn't he?
Is that right?
Glod?
Maybe so, yeah.
Anyway, he goes to Glod in Romania and shoots these scenes of his hometown in Kazakhstan. And now that the movie's a big smash hit, everyone there is up in arms saying how he used and abused them.
These are people who are practically sheltered from the outside world. They don't have
right.
telephones, they don't have television, they don't know anything. You
no.
can probably talk them into doing anything with a dollar bill.
The head of the local leader of the village says that producers paid locals just $4 to perform degrading acts.
Oh, really?
Wait a minute. What were the degrading acts?
Having farm animals in, live in their homes.
I guess, but...
And to pose and look like fools and have no arms and dance and do silly dances and stuff.
Right.
But $4 is probably like the, you know, the national gross income of
that's
that country.
$4 yeah. salary.
Right, buy a new brand new home in Glod for $4.
but I guess they're standing there like they'll stand next to a woman and go, oh, here's my sister. She's the fourth most famous prostitute in Kazakhstan. You're speaking it in English. They have no idea what you're saying. And then maybe after the movie comes out, they realize you're calling them prostitutes and rapists and everything else that he says. Maybe that's what their beef is.
They have a problem with that?
Don't rape today.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
We thought they came here to help us, not mock us, says Deniluka of Glod. We haven't got anything here. We haven't got running water. We can't even bathe. We are poor people, but we are still people. How dare Sacha Baron Cohen take advantage of the poor Glodians? So they're thinking about legal action. They're going to get a class action lawsuit against Sacha.
Excellent.
Look, I think that here's how the court case should go. Is it funny? Yes. Case dismissed.
That's what I'm saying. Take it to the funny court. Christina Aguilera, another pop star
Ooh.
Who's getting ready to stretch her acting chops.
Yeah.
She's going to be on CSI New York in February. She'll be featured in a storyline about battered women, which is an issue that's close to Aguilera's heart. Apparently, she grew up in an abusive household and is a major contributor to a women's shelter in her hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So she will be acting on the show, playing a battered woman.
Generous slices of juicy beef.
What does that even mean?
What does that even have to do with anything?
Why would you play that?
Just thinking about
Lindsay Lohan we're talking about.
Just thinking about Christina, that's all.
The hell?
And here's Hollywood's new hot lesbian couple. You ready for this?
Yes, we are.
Oh, you have no idea how good this is.
Please.
You have no idea how much you want to see the sex video out of this couple.
Tell us.
In The Advocate, which of course is the gay and lesbian magazine of record.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They have announced that there's a new hot lesbian couple in town.
Yes.
Two women.
Yes.
Yes.
Who are engaging in lesbian love together.
And their names are?
Two popular actresses who are
and
lesbians.
We would know them as?
We get the setup.
Having a lesbian love
we're
affair.
We're ready for the answer.
Two of them go to sleep together in the same bed.
Uh-huh. And their names
engage
are?
Engage in lesbian sex and then wake up in the morning
and they
together.
Call each other?
Honey or sweetheart.
Oh.
They call each
okay,
other.
Okay, but then if they were to use their actual names, what would they be calling each other?
Remember Terminator 3?
Yeah.
And Christina Loken, who played
yes,
the
yes.
Terminator of the future,
yes.
the female Terminator. She's in the midst of a relationship with former Lost star Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh, no kidding.
Yay!
Michelle, of course, the dude.
Of course, the two of them hit it off, according to this article, on the set of Blood Rain, a movie they filmed together in Romania. I wonder if they were in Glod at any time. Anyway, Michelle's camp has not come forward and said anything, but in a recent interview with The Advocate, Christina Loken alluded to the fact that the relationship was still ongoing and there had been photos of them partying and hanging out and making out on the set. And
these gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
Oh, that's such good news.
That is good news.
So, two of them an item, apparently.
Fantastic.
That's a
thank
good
you,
lesbian couple.
God
right
bless
there.
You, Ralph.
That's a good one. That's not one of your... One of your Portia de Rossi Ellen DeGeneres numbers. You know what I mean? We're like, if I look with one eye, if I cover one eye, it's a good couple. No, this is all good right there. That's good.
That is good.
And speaking of good, November 27th, set your TiVos. OJ talks on Fox doing an interview about his new book, If I Did It. A hypothetical recreation of what the murders might have been like had OJ been there.
May I ask a question, Ralph?
Yes, you may.
If he can't keep any of the money, why go to all the trouble to write a book and publish it?
He has got a pathological need for attention and focus and fame, and he needs to continue to somehow jut himself back into the line.
And you don't think he's trying to figure out a way to get that money? I mean, really, like offshore accounts or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I wouldn't put it past him.
But it would seem to be there would be more low-profile ways for him to make money under the radar than to do
it.
This story.
Yeah, sell autographs on the internet or something. It's a lot harder to track down.
Or do it, you know, launder it somehow through, like, you sell your autograph to some dealer or something, and then they sell it and then slide the money under the table so no one's aware of it. But this is, if he's making any money out of this deal, people are going to follow it and watch it and track it. It seems like he needs the attention more than he needs the money, quite frankly.
True.
Mm-hmm. Here's a little bit of the commercial they're running over there in Fox.
On Monday, November 27th, the interview that will shock the nation.
You wrote, "I have never seen so much blood in my life."
I don't think any two people could be murdered without everybody being covered in blood.
Oh. I know I was covered in blood.
So he wrote, "I never saw so much blood in my life." Not theoretically.
Well, the whole book is apparently theoretical.
So he tells what happened, and then he says, "This is theoretical."
Because he also reinforces the fact that he didn't do it. He didn't.
No.
Right.
I did not commit those murders. I couldn't kill anyone. And I don't know of anyone that was involved.
So it's the same old line.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but if I did it, oh, boy, was that fun.
Let me give you some details about that.
Yeah. So that's the 27th of November. You can check that out, which makes, I think, it's right after Thanksgiving, isn't it?
I think so.
What's Thanksgiving
this
year? The whole family?
What's Thanksgiving this year?
23rd, I want to say.
Oh,
that's
24? Right. Oh, okay. I thought it'd be like the day after. You could like still get some leftovers and gather the family around the TV and just have a special warm holiday moment.
It's a two-parter, too. It's 27th and 29th.
Yeah.
So that's good times.
Well, you can't fit all that murder into one, to one interview. Today's celebrity birthday is Ed Asner, very talented actor, Emmy Award winner. Played Lou Grant for many years on television, 77 years old today. Sam Waterston, one of the best actors on TV, in my opinion, plays Jack McCoy over there in Law & Order. I love that show, 66 years old today. And Beverly D'Angelo, very talented actress, and she played Chevy Chase's wife in all those Vacation movies. And if you can look good opposite Chevy Chase, you can act with anybody, because he is a tour de force. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, I'm going to do what I'm about to ask everyone else to do, which is to put your preconceived notions about astrology in the back seat for a moment. Let's try to have an open mind. For years, Kevin, you and I have been making fun of astrology and astrologers, but we got an expert on the phone who's going to explain to us how it works.
Dude, so I only have I have a one-seater. I can't...
let's welcome Susan Miller to the phone. She is astrologyzone.com. She is the current resident astrologer for InStyle magazine, also Cosmo Girl. Susan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much. You're so sweet. You know, all astrologers start as skeptics too, you know.
Yeah.
You're not born a believer, believe me.
I think the reason Bean brought that up is because neither of us have had any luck in trying to figure out or believe in astrology. It just seems
silly. Did you ever have your chart done?
Yeah.
And you had correct time of birth?
Yeah.
Yes. And you know what's interesting, Susan,
is that's unfortunate.
We were having a conversation off the air yesterday, and Kevin said something that I thought was interesting. He said, you know what, all the characteristics that they give for his birth sign, Aries, are pretty right on with him, pretty accurate with
him. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
But I'm sure that you know, Kevin, personally, lots of Aries who are not at all like
first of all, did you know that the moment you're born will never be repeated again in terms of the pattern up in the heavens, that your star pattern is completely unique?
Okay, forgive me.
So you're kind of a soup of many planets put together, and your rising sign is equally important as your sun sign.
Okay, Susan, hold on. Slow down.
Here's
the point where you lose me, and that is where you start to tell me that the planets are all in certain locations, and that's why I turn out the way I do. How on earth does that happen?
We don't know. I'm going to be really honest with you. We don't know why it works.
Is it possible that it doesn't?
Well, after you start studying astrology, you start to see remarkable coincidences, I guess. It's just too dead on to be a coincidence.
All right, let me ask it another way, Susan.
You have free will. Remember that.
Right.
Astrology,
yes, of course.
Is not predestination or fortune-telling. It is the study of mathematical cycles which help you in planning when to act and when to hold back.
Let me ask it another way, Susan.
Okay.
Kevin was born at a certain time in a certain hospital in a certain time zone on a certain day at a certain hour. There was another baby who was born down the hall from him at virtually the same time, all right? He was born in a big city.
They will have some similar experiences, or at least similar opportunities. But remember, each house of the horoscope covers more than one thing. For example, the sixth house. Let's say in both cases that baby had a lot lit up in the sixth house. One may have a big focus on health and one on work projects because they're both covered by the same. You know, and one may become a veterinarian because that's also the house of domestic animals. So, you know, there's a lot.
So basically it could be anything really for anyone, Susan.
But how similar are those two babies who are born? If what's important is
they're
the time you're
similar.
Born.
They are
going to be pretty similar?
Actually, they're going to be so similar they may not get along, you know.
We're going to have to do...
They're going to be too much the same. I tend to think that we need a little difference between us. You know, remember in chemistry how, you know, different elements created a different kind of, you know, equation and outcome? I think each of us forms a different equation when we're together. People bring out different parts of you and so forth.
So you buy, when you hear, for instance, I'm a Scorpio. My birthday was yesterday, in fact, Susie.
Oh,
and you,
really?
I've always.
I love Scorpio. This is your year. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's your year, Bean.
All right. But we don't have time for that. But I wanted to ask because I've always heard that Scorpios, for instance, should not date or, God forbid, marry other Scorpios. Like, that is some sort of a combination that is just too fiery.
Scorpios are fixed signs. And actually, Tom Cruise has Scorpio rising, so he's as much Scorpio as he is Cancer. So they tend to be very fixed.
Tom Cruise has Cancer?
He's a Cancer. He's born in July.
Oh, okay, good. I thought we had breaking news here. But is there something that, I mean, if they were to do a study of Scorpios who are married to Scorpios, as an example, would we'd find a lot of happy marriages in that combination as well, despite what people say, right?
But remember, you're more than just where the sun was on the day you were born, where Venus was, where the moon, where Mercury. You know what it is? Let me explain how this all got off on the wrong track.
Please.
In the 1930s, the newspapers were looking for a way to raise their circulation. And they thought, well, it would be fun to have a column on astrology. They went to the astrologers, and the astrologers said, oh, no, there's so much more to it. There's so much math, and we can't do it. And they said, well, what if you just read the sun? And I said, well, the sun is important. It is the center of our solar system, and it does carry an enormous amount of weight. They said, all right, we're going to make this simple. You just talk about the sun and nothing else, and that's it. And that's where people thought that the sun was the only important thing. We all grew up reading the newspaper and magazines, and, you know, not enough has been talked about the other parts.
How does the sun and or any other planets have anything to do with whether I'm successful or not?
We don't know. We know that astrology is a study of geometry and how planets align. I think you're going to see a real evidence next month, because we're going to have something so extraordinary in December that you're not going to see it again in a long time. And it's similar to what happened in May 2000. And that was not an easy time for you if you're a Scorpio, because seven planets were lining up in Taurus.
Oh, my God.
And that's the first week in May 2000. I know many people can't even remember what they had for lunch yesterday, but if that was an important time, you'd remember. And if you turned on the newscaster said, wow, we're never going to have seven planets aligned again in our lifetime, like little guys at the bank standing behind each other.
And it's going to be in December?
Well, it won't ever happen in our lifetime again, seven, but we are going to have six.
Okay, what will that mean in December?
And it'll be in Sagittarius. Now, for you, you'll be Mr. Moneybags.
Nice.
Actually, Kevin is our Aries. He's going to make money, too.
Woo!
But you're going to make money differently.
We're all making money.
But, Susan, doesn't Kevin make money every month, though? He makes money every month. I just don't think the planets lining up 60 or 70 affects most people.
He's not going to make money, actually. That was this month for him.
Susan, don't take that away from me.
Sorry about that. What could happen is big travel opportunities and lots of luck from foreign people, foreign places, and the possibility of going back to school to get an advanced degree. All these things are shimmering for your co-host there.
Well, Kevin is famous for his love of education. I know that.
So what is Lisa? Is she sitting there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
When is your birthday?
June 23rd.
Oh, so you're Cancer also. So Cancer is going to do well with health and fitness. You know, like the before and after picture, only you'll be the after
but
picture.
But Susan, isn't that kind of stuff that you're saying you're going to make money, health and fitness? Isn't that like all big
this
general?
Is a trend
wait. Let me ask. Susan, let me ask.
No, you're
Susan, let me ask.
Let me ask.
Definitely. I have 17
let
million people
me ask
my
a question. Please let me ask a question.
Okay, go ahead.
aren't all of the things that you're talking about just huge generalities that kind of you could fit people into at any point in their lives?
See, if you read my my website, I give exact birthdays that will really feel things doubly important. The fact that your birthday was this week, you're close to the luckiest day of the year, which is November 21st next week.
Okay.
It's such a good time. And because your birthday is falling very close to that, it's going to color the whole year. This the year to come in 2007. Your birthday, the birthday year. We go from birthday year to birthday year.
Susan, we're running out of time, but you did check on Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. This is what brought up the topic of astrology because I think it was an AOL astrologer that said Tom and Katie should not get married on Saturday because it's going to be disastrous.
Well, no, I never say disaster.
No, I'm saying they did. They said
there's some good. This is an amazing day that they picked. There's some amazingly wonderful things happening and some of the worst things happening. So
just like every day.
Oh boy. Now, what I don't like is that Mercury is still retrograde. And when Mercury's retrograde, we don't think properly.
Effing Mercury.
And Mercury will go direct on Friday, and they're getting married Saturday. But the bookend dates of a Mercury retrograde period, the start and finish, are the worst. Remember this, the hanging chads, how horrible that was, the election?
That was because of the planets?
To find out when we were going to get a president. That election took place on an end date of a Mercury retrograde. And I always tell my readers, you've got to leave about 3 or 4 days. I wish they were getting married on Monday or Tuesday. When you're that rich and you have these kinds of guests, they can come anytime. They don't need a weekend like the rest of us do.
Nancy Reagan, hang on, let me ask you this question. are you suggesting that their marriage is more likely to be successful if they had the actual ceremony 2 days later than they're planning on having it?
But do you remember your catechism? I don't know what religion you are, but I'm Catholic, and the nuns used to tell us that God knows what you're going to do before you do it. I was the one kid. All the other kids went out in the playground, and I was like, tell me that again. Tell me that again. What's that about? Doesn't it matter what we do then if God knows what we're going to do? No, it does matter. It does matter. And when you study astrology, things work out the way they're supposed to. Like they were supposed to get married at this time. Now, I gave you the bad thing. I'm not happy that they're getting married on this particular day. I wish they'd waited a few days because marriage is a contract and Mercury rules contracts. Okay,
sure.
That's number one. Now, but the good thing is Jupiter is conjunct the Sun in Tom's a house of love. I think they're going to have a lot of children, or she's going to be asked to have a lot of children.
But see, you could have read that in the paper, Susan. All right, listen, we're out of time. We're going to take some phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Should we have Susan stay on and talk to listeners, or how should we do this?
Do you mind that, Susan? Okay.
All right, you hold on.
Susan Miller is our guest. AstrologyZone.com is the website. She is the current resident astrologer for InStyle Magazine and Cosmo Girl. We'll take a quick break and take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 when we get back on K-Rock. Listen to this email from Natalie. This is one of three or four I've received in the last couple of minutes about our guest who's on the line, Susan Miller, AstrologyZone.com. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was a skeptic in regards to astrology, too. I still think that most horoscopes are a bunch of bull. However, Susan Miller's Astrology Zone are the most dead-on I've ever seen. I started reading her horoscopes at the end of the month to see if what she forecast was accurate, and it almost always was for me. Now I read her forecast at the beginning of the month, and it's amazing how accurately she's able to predict patterns and events. What's up with that? How are you brainwashing the masses, Susan? How do you do it?
No, I'm not. I studied astrology for 12 years. I wanted to know if I'd ever walk again because I had a real health problem. And I wasn't going to ever tell the world that I knew astrology, but things happen. Time Warner asked me to build a website. But I don't try to dupe anybody, and I'm not an evangelist. It's mathematical cycles, and remember, you have control. I'm your co-pilot. We're looking at weather forecasts here. You may say, I want a new job, or I want a new apartment, or something, and I'll say, oh, gee, that's going to be a little tough, and you're like, no, I have to get out. We have to do this. And so, all right, I just have to give you more information, and I have to show you which way to fly to avoid the problems, and arm you to be ready so you're not broadside. By events.
All right. Christian in Hermosa Beach. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi.
Hi.
Why? What do you think?
I'd like to discuss a very basic premise in astronomy. It's called precessions. That over the course
of... Yes, I know. Yeah, about precessions. Precession of the equinox, the 23-degree shift.
Which means
exactly.
What?
Exactly. Because of the tilt of Earth's axis, that every 26,000 years, the sky completely turns unto itself. So that the sky that the Greeks were looking up at about 3,000 years ago has completely changed. And so if we discuss the very basic premise of astrology, that you are born based on where the sun is, which constellation the sun is,
that will determine your star sign. However, because of precession, the sun is actually in a different constellation than what you're told. If you're Cancer, you're probably Gemini. And that there's a completely new astrological sign called Ophiuchus that takes up the gap where the sun no longer is in Scorpio.
Let me stop you right there, Christian. Have you factored all of this into your astrological reading, Susan?
No.
Here's what I'll say about this. The astrologers in the communities that we build, clubs and scholars that join these clubs, have a whole branch of astrology called sidereal astrology that studied this for decades. It doesn't work when we shift to the 23 degrees. So we feel that astrology was born into our consciousness at a certain time, and that the formulas that were at then in place are the ones we have to continue to use. My astrology software right now on my desk could shift everything to the sidereal 23 degree shift that our sweet caller is talking about. But and bless your heart, I'm so happy that you called in. But it doesn't work for some reason. There are some mysteries.
Okay.
We don't know everything.
Susan,
we don't know why it doesn't work.
I apologize to do this, but we're running a little bit late, so we need quicker questions,
okay.
Especially quicker questions and quicker answers. Let's go to Mike and Laverne. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. You said the luckiest day of the year was November 21st. Well, that just happens to be my birthday. So
oh, my goodness. You won the cosmic jackpot. This will be the only time in 12 years that Jupiter will conjunct the sun. Jupiter is the giver of gifts and luck in Scorpio. Next year, it'll happen in Sagittarius. Everybody gets a turn. But this is such a lucky year for you, and so many of the seeds that you planted over the past 12 months will start to come up in your garden like Jack and the Beanstalk. We should really keep track of you.
What kind of seeds are you talking about? Hey, and Mike, by the way, I think November 21st, of course, is the day that our Christmas CD comes out, so we picked a good day and didn't even know it.
Fantastic. It doesn't get any better. Anyone listening to this broadcast, if you have to sign a contract or begin something new, open your doors on a new business or anything, have a blind date, that's the day you want to do it. Monday or Tuesday, they're both great days next week, 20th and 21st.
All right, let's go to Lisa in Valencia. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Hi.
My birthday is November 14th, the same as Bean.
Right.
And my husband's birthday is November 28th.
Okay.
My husband is so similar to Bean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, Lisa, I'm so sorry.
You married that guy?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
All right, let her finish here.
Okay.
Well, he's quite an adventurer. See, he's a Sagittarius, and he likes to go out and travel. You're a Scorpio. You like to stay home a little bit more. How did you work that out? Is that okay?
Actually, it's the complete opposite.
Oh, really?
I am more like Kevin. I love to go out. I'm very social. I love to go to Vegas, and my husband loves to stay home and isolate and read the newspaper and read all these books, and he loves to go to 7-Eleven.
I do love to read.
So why are these the opposite, Susan? How come these seem to be the opposite?
Well, you know, signs standing next to each other on the wheel are opposite from one another because in astrology there is a complete symmetry. So you'll find that signs next to each other are like that.
Susan, I have to be honest. You don't get thrown very easy, and you always have an answer that confuses me.
But that's no different from most guests, Susan.
All right, let's do one more.
Everything in a little capsule.
I know you can. I know it's a very, very broad subject. Let's close with
this lady's husband may have a lot of Scorpio planets because he's born so close to that, and she may have some Sag. I'd have to look at the whole chart.
I understand. Like I said, it's a broad time. We have time for just one more call, and I want to get Bios on from Corona because this is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart, Susan.
Okay.
And I think he's got a great question for you. Bios, hi, you're on with Susan Miller, AstrologyZone.com. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great. I just have a quick two-part question. It's very quick. You know how you guys have studied all the planets and how they're aligned and everything? Now that Pluto is considered not part of the solar system, every time he comes in and out, how does that, Uranus affect the reading?
We're still looking at Pluto because we know what Pluto can do in a chart. And, 300 scientists were upset by that demotion of Pluto, and they're bringing it up again in 2009. This club doesn't meet very often, every 4 years. But there was a petition, you can look on the internet, and this is a question that's not quite settled yet.
Let me put it in another way, though. Let me put it in another way, Susan. And BIOS misspoke a little bit. Pluto is still part of the solar system. Yeah. The classification has just been downgraded to dwarf planet.
We're still keeping him in the chart because
so you don't know how that hasn't affected you so far. Whatever we call Pluto doesn't make any difference to astrologers at this point.
To the scientists and what they say, but he's not a planet. He's just a little guy. He's a dwarf.
He's the best. He's the biggest little planet.
No,
if you want my
he's
opinion.
Not a planet, is what they said. He's just a stone.
That's right.
I know, an icy body.
All right. Well, listen, we are out of time. It is a fascinating topic that millions of people are suckers are fans of.
Believe in. He meant believe in.
Believe it. Right.
You know, be in Pasadena. I'm going to speak on December 9th at the Oneness Expo. It's on my website under Susan's appearance. But okay. I hope the week I'm in LA, I can meet you.
That'd be fine. You could come in that week.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. AstrologyZone.com is the website, and you can, of course, read Susan every month in InStyle Magazine or Cosmo Girl. Susan Miller, thank you for being a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Lisa, I have a question for you on a different topic.
Okay.
Coloring your pubic hair. Is that a big deal? Do you have you ever wanted?
Have I ever?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think I might have lightened it once.
Really?
Yeah.
This is kind of why I brought up the astrology is for women, is because that back to back with this, I feel like I'm on the freaking View all of a sudden. I don't know if assistant producer Alex has taken over booking the guests or what's going on, but apparently BettyBeauty.com is something that we desperately need to talk to. And yeah, it's a pubic hair coloring product line. And it is, everybody's talking about it right now. Nancy Jarecki is the creator of BettyBeauty.com. She's on the line with us right now. Hey, Nancy.
Hi.
So little did we know that there was a real need out there for this product, but apparently, yes, that is the case, right?
It is indeed the case, much more so than we ever thought, that's for sure.
Well, you guys talk about, you know, does the hair on the head match the other hair?
Does the carpet match the curtains?
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe you would like that.
Now, Nancy, how did you start this?
Well, I was over in Rome about 3 years ago, and I was living there, and I frequent this little mom-and-pop's beauty parlor, and when these women were getting their hair done from behind the back bar, their colors would come with this like tattered little bag full of something.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to them, the women would be in delight, give them a kiss and thank them, and on they would, you know, they would go their day. And I kept seeing this happen over and over, so I finally said to the receptionist, what is it in that little bag that those women are getting? And she looks at me and she's like, oh, it's to match down there. And I thought immediately, who wouldn't want to be a true blonde?
Sure.
Then I thought, well, wait, if waxers are already manicuring their Betty,
mm-hmm.
I bet they'd like to do some fun colors. Then, you know, I just started to think about, like, well, if they're doing it here, they're doing it everywhere, or they're trying to do it. And so I thought, there is an item that has never been done before that people would definitely use if it was specifically made for that.
Now, what's the problem with normal hair color?
Oh, a lot. A lot. First of all, it is very harsh. It's very liquidy or gel-like,
mm-hmm.
whereas my stuff is a gentle formula, specially formulated for your Betty. It's a no-drip, creamy. You put it on, that stuff is not going to drip down anywhere dangerous.
Oh, that's good. Because
you know, we have hundreds of emails. You know, people love to tell us how they're, you know, coloring their Betty. They love to tell us all the stories. They love the stuff. They're telling us how they apply it, and they can walk around their apartment, or they can do their email, you know, or watch Grey's Anatomy. You know, I mean, they really.
You mean while doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What colors do you have? What are the different colors?
Well, right now we have Blonde Betty,
mm-hmm.
and you can do kind of three different versions of Blonde Betty. We have Blonde Betty, Auburn Betty, Black Betty, Brown Betty, and those are for, you know, if you got those pesky gray hairs, which we found out a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Fun Betty, which is hot pink.
Hot pink.
Hot pink. How's that moving for you?
Everybody loves hot pink.
That's funny.
No kidding. Hey, the way you're describing the emails that you're getting, it sounds to me like you need to be putting more photos up at BettyBeauty.com.
No, let's not hey, it's already Fun Betty right now. Let's not have it be too much of a Porn Betty.
Well, hey, Porn Betty is what we're talking about here. So how long has this product been available on the market?
Well, I launched it at the beauty show in Cosmoprof in Las Vegas in July,
mm-hmm.
and it got such a huge response that we just started to immediately roll it out. Now, you know, a lot of people like yourself have been open to talk about it, and everyone's pretty much embraced the Betty that it's really been doing well.
It's one of these things that you look at and you say, it's so obvious,
yeah.
But I personally didn't ever know there was a need for it.
Oh, it is. You know, because I projected there was, because I did a lot of research.
Right.
But what I found was a lot of these sleeper demographics, like the most conservative people that I thought, oh, they'd be a little, apprehensive about
right.
using it. They're almost my biggest customers. They might not be waxers, but they're definitely Betty users.
No huh. kidding.
You know, hey, or a little bit older crowd that have, you know, some gray hairs that want to still stay, you know, useful.
So like the Amish yeah. community, they're all over this
Amish
stuff.
Love it.
Hey, did you have a, this is a Nancy Drecki on the line, creator of BettyBeauty.com. We're talking about exactly what you think we're talking about. Did you guys have a meeting where you had to decide, hey, what are we going to call it? And somehow the consensus was, let's call it a Betty?
Well, it's funny you should say that. We always had a working title with all my lawyers and the manufacturers. And because I hadn't really come up with Betty and I hadn't really, you know, used it yet, I knew I was probably going to use it. But we had a working title, which I will not tell you what it was.
Okay.
Because now I have a pact with my office that I can actually pitch Betty without actually having to say any of the slang terms for your Betty.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I got you.
Do you have, because of our audience, because of the Kevin and Bean audience, and yes. Southern California is highly Hispanic, do you have silver and black?
Oh, yeah. You will believe what they're doing with the colors.
Really?
Yeah, you can do a lot of stuff. In fact, we welcome what you guys are all doing out there with the colors.
All right.
But going back to Betty, I thought to myself, I knew what my research told me. It was going to be young people using it, and it was also going to be older people, you know, using it. So I needed to have a name that was very universal, something that was quick, something that could represent your Betty or having to color your Betty or your Betty. And so I thought, I wanted it kind of, you know, I always thought like Tracy Lords was kind of like this, you know, or Jenna Jameson was kind of like that edgy, like sexy girl.
Right.
But I also thought, you know what, Doris Day was also kind of like sexy in her way.
No.
So I wanted
she's so hot.
It was universal.
No,
all right, Nancy,
really.
we're almost out of time. Obviously, sure. BettyBeauty.com is where you go to get more information. But are you selling it in regular stores or is it just online?
Yes, we are. We're rolling out big. We're going to be rolling out in the next month in most salons, professional beauty stores, and some retailers. You can go to your salon or you can go to a beauty store and you can request it, they'll let you know when they'll be getting it in.
How about
okay.
that?
That's brilliant.
Well, if it isn't already, but yeah, we're rolling it out.
We always enjoy talking to entrepreneurs, which is a very difficult word for me to say, but Nancy, you deserve it. BettyBeauty.com is the site.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
great
for coming on K-Rock
to
today.
You guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Thank you, Lisa.
Zach, Shazak, booyah.
No time for this. No time for this lightning.
Everything works, Light. We're doing good. 8:56 now, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Things might be darker for Kevin Federline than we even thought.
Hopefully.
Us Weekly Magazine claims he is pretty much flat broke busted these days.
Really?
Brittany has turned off his cell phone, canceled that, canceled all his credit cards, told him to get his own transportation, and he's going to have to pay for his own hotel rooms while he's on tour. Can't use the
on tour.
Mutual
quote, unquote,
money
tour.
Anymore. Well, going from cancellation to cancellation.
Yeah.
This morning's New York Post page 6 gossip column says that K-Fed went to a New York strip club for dinner this weekend and asked for the food in the buffet to be put into doggy bags so he could take it back to his hotel.
That's fine dining.
Then tried to sneak out bottles of tequila and vodka under his coat. So the poor bastard came and buy booze. I mean, that's rough. How soon until he's panhandling in Times Square?
Very soon.
Hey, you want to buy a CD? He's got like stacks and stacks of his own CD behind him.
If she really cut off his credit cards, man, that is hard. You are out there on the road with no money.
Well, what's she going to do? Just let him spend up as much as he wants?
Well, he must have got a huge advance from Federation Records, right?
Sure, for that CD
for that
and
CD
all the sales.
Working on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Brit, people inside the porn industry saying that if there is a Britney Spears sex video and were to be set free on the internet and into video stores, it would bring in an estimated $200 million in sales.
Yeah, that seems ridiculous. $200 million?
What did Pam and Tommy make? Do we know, Ralph?
I don't know, but I know Paris Hilton's made $50 million in profit for the people distributing it. So they thought it would outsell Paris Hilton's about 4-1. So
yeah,
I guess. They're guessing around $200 million in profit could be made on the internet and in DVD copies, should it be released.
Well, they'd get my money, I know that.
Mine too. Wow. David Blaine's back in the news.
Yes. Yes.
The magician says he's going to do a New York City stunt where he will attempt to escape from shackles while dangling four stories above Times Square just in time for the big Target two-day sale.
What the hell?
It would be done as a publicity stunt for the department store's holiday sale, and that's where he's at these days. That's how he rolls.
So then he gets out, and then they go, go shop.
You can be free of high prices, like David Blaine is free of his shackles
that's lame.
Target. Please enjoy Target.
Lame.
Getting out of shackles seems like a 19th century magic trick. It doesn't seem like it's necessarily cutting edge.
Yeah, didn't Houdini pretty much nail that down?
Yeah.
Guys, he hasn't been cutting edge for a long time. He's laying down underwater and all that
1910s, BS. Didn't Houdini pretty much work out that whole getting out of handcuff things?
Yeah.
Don't invite Christian Bale to the event, though, by the way, because he will F up your trick, man.
Dude, he will so prestige your ass.
That's right, man. Be careful.
And I can't get over the story. Can't stop thinking about these two together. Now I don't have to think about it. I got a picture of the two of them here. Apparently, Christina Loken and Michelle Rodriguez from Lost and Christina Loken from Terminator 3 having a love affair. They're in love. They're a couple.
Good news, Ralph.
It's very good news. This comes to us from The Advocate, the gay and lesbian magazine of record. Christina Loken is 27, of course, starred as the Terminator in Terminator 3.
Yeah.
And she has a recurring role as the lover of Shane, the character Shane, on Showtime's The L Word this season. So I guess she's really a method actress.
Yeah.
Apparently the two met on the set of Blood Rain, a horror film they did together in Romania, and they've been tight ever since.
Tight!
You know, it's a great thing about being a lesbian. You never get loose. You know, loose from your daily, you know.
Yeah.
Your daily,
you know, activities.
Listen to the disgust in Lisa's voice. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you meant. Yeah.
9 o'clock, right? Do we have time for a little OJ news?
Yeah, we do. Sure. Then we're going to tell you another band for K-Rock's Night Number 2.
November 27th, to celebrate the holidays, Fox is putting together a special holiday event. OJ Simpson talks about murdering people.
Excellent.
Good times.
This is about his book, If I Did It?
Doing an interview with OJ about his book, where he hypothetically wonders what it would be like if he, in fact, had murdered his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman.
Not that he did. He's not saying he did.
No, he's saying he did not. But if he did, here's the sort of details he would reveal to you. And so we're going to...
Monday, November 27th, the interview that will shock the nation.
You wrote, I have never seen so much blood in my life.
I don't think any two people could be murdered without everybody being covered in blood.
See? He didn't actually see so much blood in his life. He didn't think anybody could be murdered without that much blood.
Just
being
in
around.
General.
Exactly. He's just guessing there about
not
how much blood there was. OJ, did you murder those two people?
No. I did not commit those murders. I couldn't kill anyone, and I don't know of anyone that was involved.
Still looking. Still looking for the real murderer.
Oh, jeez. Now that was about as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to miss.
What's that slicing sound in the beginning of that clip, I wonder?
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
I want to remind everybody, next Tuesday, November 21st, we're having a special live broadcast to celebrate the release of Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas, our brand new Christmas CD at Signal Hill Best Buy, 2701 Cherry Avenue in Signal Hill, which is right there next to Long Beach.
It's the only thing we're doing, only event we're doing for this.
So if you want to get your CDs signed after you purchase them, come on down to the live broadcast. OK Go is going to be performing there. We're going to be hanging out, doing a whole live show from that location. Then right afterwards, we'll be signing the Christmas CDs for everybody. So make
that's
a note
all your favorite superheroes. Roid Rage will be there. Superhero will be there. Wrong Man, Beanbot, Special K, Green Eagle. All of us will be there.
The Pet Parent.
Yep.
Yeah.
She'll be expressing anal glands all over the place.
Oh.
It's one of her weapons.
Stop
you know.
It.
No, that's one of her secret weapons.
I don't want to hear about it.
If she gets into trouble, the pet parent can express her anal gland at you, and then, you know, it's like toxic.
Oh, my God.
Not funny!
That's good. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ed Asner is 77 years old today. Sam Waterston from Law & Order turns 66. And Judge Wapner, the judge from the People's Court, he's 87 years old today. I used to love Wapner. He wouldn't take crap off of nobody.
He's no Judge Judy, but...
No.
Who is?
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Love that about Judy.
Every day you flip around daytime TV, there's judges you've never heard of who have shows. There must be a dozen of them on the air. You go to one channel, there's like Judge Chuck, and then you switch over to the next channel, it's like Judge Mikey.
Texas Justice with Judge Leroy.
It's just hilarious how many of these there are.
I know. I miss Judge Kevin
Bean. Wapner's the first, and he's the best.
Though. He was. He was the originator.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Guys, maybe you can help me. I'm looking for a Christmas CD full of all new material. It's got to have at least 30, 35 tracks.
Okay.
Has to be really cheap.
Right.
And
say under $7?
Ideally, yeah. Okay. Under $7.
All right. $7.
That seems
has to have comedy, has to have exclusive music tracks, and it has to be available starting next Tuesday.
God,
can you help
what
me?
What the hell? You are so greedy. You want all that?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas.
Yay!
That fits the bill.
Oh. I was going to say Big Boy's Stocking Full of Coal.
We are talking about 30 Seconds to Mars and Taking Back Sunday, Plus 44, She Wants Revenge, Snow Patrol, Jurassic 5, Hinder, Angels and Airwaves, Papa Roach, OK Go, so much more. And that's just the music. Plus, there's tons of comedy on Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas, available starting this Tuesday at all Southern California Best Buy stores.
The CD has... The CD
no.
has...
No, Mike.
No, Mike. The CD has a premise this year. There's a story that runs throughout, which is, you know, in the light of X-Men and Spider-Man and Batman and Superman, all these superhero movies and heroes on television, what would happen if the morning show crew, they got superhero powers and they became a team of superheroes? And that's the theme this year. And I want to thank an amazingly talented artist named Paul Lee, comic book artist, who helped design the costumes and the characters for each of us. So we each have a secret identity, and we help Santa Claus save Christmas this year because he runs into a little trouble.
As always, our TMZ cameras were there.
My life is you mother I'm gonna you. Don't you know I own the North Pole? I will spend all of my money to get even with you. Elves.
That's sad.
Yeah. Sounds like another good one for the littlest kids on your list.
Oh,
year,
yeah. Get the whole family around the hearth and listen to this.
I'm Special K. Bean is Beanbot. Ralph's the Green Eagle. Lisa May is the Pet Parent. Psycho Mike is Roid Rage. Lightning is Wrong Man. And of
wrong
course,
man.
Assistant Producer Alex is Super Whore.
She's the Slut-tastic Super Whore.
Wherever she goes, someone she... She's the super whore, and she likes it in the rear.
Yeah. That's her. Everyone's got a superhero theme this year, their own theme song.
She does, Lisa. It's not us.
Right. It's the character.
You want to deny her the pleasure that she gets out of life?
She's got that magic bracelets that STDs bounce off of. That's one of her magical powers.
I love, you know, Greenbrier Lane is a band that we've been lucky enough to come in contact with. They've done a lot of great stuff for us over the years, a lot of theme songs and whatnot. But it's unbelievable the scope of this project, how many different themes they came up with, Ralph. And I know you sat down and helped them come up with the concepts. So, but they're all such great songs, too.
They are very, 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 very fun.
We're not all superheroes. There's also a villain or two, like Doc on the Rocktopus.
That's right.
He is one.
Yeah.
And Santa also runs into Al Gore, oddly enough.
The North Pole is melting.
Oh, crap. So this is all about your global warming bull.
Yeah, he has a slideshow. He's showing the Santa up at the North Pole. It's kind of inconvenient.
Not only that, but there are, like Bean said, there are a lot of K-Rock bands, and we asked them to come up with original songs if they can, do covers if they can't. And one of the songs that came up with an original is Papa Roach, and it's one of our favorite songs on the CD.
I'm not coming home.
Bad, right? That's
not
a good song.
Christmas songs with bongos in them, I think. They're really filling that void.
We also have Taking Back Sunday that does a rather unique version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
But on the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nine ladies dancing.
Nice. Okay, cool.
That got kind of...
Well, that explains the maids of milking.
So there you go. That's a little bit of that one. We're not going to give you the whole thing now. You got to actually buy the CD. And Jurassic 5 is on it.
We do it like this. Rock it to you. K-K-R-O-Q.
It's J-5. You know what I mean?
We put that on because we really do sometimes just have to shake that ass.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And so that's what we use for that. And, of course, the very talented superstar, international superstar, ladies and gentlemen, on this year's Kevin and Bean Christmas CD, Kevin and Bean Super Christmas, Wing.
We really really need to get Wing and Bjork together, I think. That's who needs to team up.
I wish you guys could have heard the phone conversations that it took for Lightning to get Wing to record that song. It was like 75,000 calls.
Well, she's in New Zealand, and we're trying to get her in the studio to record something specially for us, and it was a lot of work on his part.
Yeah.
It is an amazing value. There aren't very many of them this time of year. $6.99, 35 all-new tracks on the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD. Kevin and Bean Super Christmas! And it's available starting Tuesday at all Southern California Best Buy stores. We're going to be live with Kevin and Bean Super Christmas Live this coming Tuesday morning. We're doing a live broadcast from the brand new store that's over there in Signal Hill. You've been seeing the signs up on the freeway there. It's a brand new store that's down kind of by Long Beach, and we're going to be in the parking lot all morning long on Tuesday.
Okay Go is going to join us. We're going to be signing the CDs after the breakfast. In the past, we've done a night or two at different locations and signed CDs. This is the only thing we're going to be doing. It's the morning it comes out, the 21st, this coming Tuesday. Live broadcast, 5:30 to 10. It is at the 2701 Cherry Avenue in Signal Hill, the brand new Best Buy, like Bean just said, and it's $6.99.
Poor Mike, so frustrated. No one will end a sentence with Best Buy.
What? He's all ready.
I'm sorry. No one will do what, Ralph?
I know. I tried to set him up. Right. No one will end a sentence with Best Buy.
Best Buy?
There you go. Let's see. You're over. It's overkill.
Hey, Pavarotti. What are you doing
back there? And the proceeds go to the Starlight Foundation and other local charities. So it's a foundation.
Oh, okay.
That was the word I was supposed to say.
All right.
$6.99. And again, it is this Tuesday, and we're going to do a live broadcast this Tuesday. We hope you come down and join. It is time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067. You call, you get on the air, you talk about whatever you want, we give you a prize.
Got an email yesterday from a listener down under. I think he streams us in either Australia or New Zealand, and said, guys, I can't figure it out. I listen to you guys every day here in Australia. What does 102 nephew mean? What is 102 nephew?
It's our address.
If you're listening right now, it's from Snoop Dogg, and it's what it do nephew is what Crikey. He's actually saying.
Crikey, yeah, I can't figure it out.
here's the prize for being on the air at 1-800-520-1067. Today it's a ValSurf snowboard designed by Never Summer and a pair of passes to Ski Dazzle 2006. It's the world's largest consumer ski and snowboard show, and it's happening at the Los Angeles Convention Center starting tomorrow through the 19th.
It's no more snow, by the way. It's hot again outside. It's not going to be
Well, it's not going to snow in Southern California, but
no, nowhere. No more snow.
Eric in Fountain Valley, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What did you, nephew?
What did you, Bean? You're a bastard.
Wow.
Wow, what now?
Well, you've been talking about that Laguna Beach, the real OC forever, and I was flipping through the channels, and MTV ran about 5,000 episodes in a row.
And you have to watch, don't you?
Yeah, and now I'm hooked in the season finale tonight.
Yep. Yeah, every weekend they do a marathon of Laguna Beach. It's, I guess, one of the most popular shows, and it's just, it's so fascinating to be a fly on the wall on that lifestyle that you're so far from. Right, Eric?
Yeah, it's great. And that Cammy, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, we hate Cammy.
I would run her over with my car if I had the opportunity to.
Yeah,
don't forget.
Rocky,
Yeah. Don't forget that this also came from Laguna Beach.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
Yeah. Tan what babies. I'd do to Tessa if I had the chance to. What I would do to Tessa.
Speaking of TV, did you guys see William Shatner's Give Me the Money, Show Me the Money last night?
No.
Oh, man.
Was it awesome?
It's awesome.
So not so much?
Well, Bill's great on it.
Yeah.
Dancing with everybody and everything.
Yeah. Is the game itself not much fun to play? Is that what you're suggesting?
The questions are really easy, and they build up a lot of tension about whether the person got it right or wrong.
Right.
And if you're a half an idiot, you know whether they got it right or wrong immediately when they answer.
What if you're a whole idiot?
So you get annoyed.
Well, you probably enjoy it more then. Okay. You wouldn't know if they're right or wrong.
Ryan in Los Angeles, good morning.
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do, Lisa?
What it do?
1 and 2, nephew.
102 to you, right.
102, yeah. Hey, I got a ticket for driving on my cell phone.
You were driving on your cell phone?
Wow.
How do you do that?
Driving on my cell phone, yes.
Meaning you're driving a car while you were speaking on your cell phone, is what you mean.
Well, yeah, I was going comfortably with the flow of traffic. Happened to be about 78 miles an hour, and I didn't notice the cop pacing me next. You know, there are guys every once in a while going faster than me, but this guy paced me and said that if I would have noticed him earlier, he wouldn't have pulled me over. But since I was on my cell phone, he pulled me over.
Because he thought you were distracted.
I was totally focused on the road.
Yeah, sure you were.
Well, you would have noticed him.
That's how the LAPD was surrounding you, and you had no idea with the helicopters and the spotlights.
You should have just pulled into the carpool lane like Kevin does. That's how you get around that. And then you walk off scot-free without a ticket.
I made him laugh. I'm telling you, you make him laugh, you make him breakfast, right?
Oh, I see how it works now.
You guys have a date?
So he got pulled over. He may have been cited for the cell phone. Was he cited for the cell phone or just cited for speeding? Did he tell us?
I think it was speeding.
He didn't, but we can go back
to it. They can't cite you right now for talking on his phone because that's not the law yet.
Ryan, what did they give you a ticket for?
It was specifically for speeding.
Speeding, okay. Yeah. But he said speeding. He pulled you over because you were talking on the cell phone.
Exactly.
Okay, I got it.
It's going to be interesting once that new law does go into effect, though, and I think in the summer of 2008, people will probably be getting pulled over if they're using a handheld phone.
2008.
If they're lucky.
I know. How insane is that?
Kimberly in Northridge, good morning.
What
did
you, nephew?
What did you, baby boo?
What did you do to you?
What's going on?
Calling to let to ask you, when are you guys going to start looking for Ms. Double December?
Well, not that we would know, but November 27th, Monday.
Right after Thanksgiving. When we come back from Thanksgiving, that's when we start that.
That's
6 a.m. November 27th.
Are you interested in applying this year?
If I had the body I had 5 years ago, yes, but I just had two kids, so not right now.
All right. No thanks. No thanks.
Pass it along.
No thanks.
Stop it.
No, thank you.
Guys are assholes.
What the hell's wrong with you?
We'll pass. Thanks.
And don't even listen anymore, Kimberly.
Stop it.
Now that's, I just threw up.
That's really harsh.
What's wrong with you people?
Well, I mean, she had a hot body 5 years ago. Why did she go and ruin it?
See?
No one held a gun to her head and said, ooh, be flabby.
Damn. Why do you hate?
Malawi's full of children. Pick up a couple there and save the body.
Alejandra in Sherman Oaks. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
I'm calling to let you know I cannot sleep at night because my neighbor has really loud sex.
You live in an apartment,
I think? You live next door to me and my wife?
I live in an apartment. He's a new guy. Mm-hmm. Just moved in. And Monday morning, it kind of came to a peak, for lack of better word. At 4:30 in the morning, he was having very loud sex, and wow. I couldn't go back to bed.
Wow. Did it turn you on?
At 11:30 at night again.
Huh.
You can't beat him. Join him.
Did you go put your name on the list on the door?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out if the woman he has sex with on Wednesday morning is the same woman he's been having sex all the other nights.
Oh, probably not, but you should do some research on that, Alejandra.
Definitely.
Like, get out and look in the windows and maybe record what they're doing.
Well, I never know when she leaves. I think on Monday night she left because I heard a door close, and then he got on his speakerphone and got in a fight with a woman and broke up with her. So I'm not sure if it's...
Wow. She must have been good.
You have paper thin walls.
No kidding.
You know way too much about this guy.
And then he ate some crackers.
He blew his nose, and then...
Hey, Alejandra, is it really just because of the sleep factor, the deprivation factor that you're upset, or are you a little bit jealous that somebody's getting all the sex in that apartment building?
I have to admit, maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of both. Fire with fire.
That's
Grab yourself a guy and give him a taste of his own medicine.
Or just start banging the wall and groaning.
No, get your own guy.
Well, I'm just saying, until she gets the guy.
I'm going to simulate.
How hard is it for girls to get a guy? Come on.
All right, Alejandra. We're sending the King of Mexico over to your place tonight, all right?
Yeah, perfect. That'll be some rousing sex there.
No, but it'll help her sleep.
Yeah. Oh, that feels so good. Mask. Oh, that's so good. That's really great.
You guys ready for the most disturbing call of the day?
I guess.
You mind? Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Upland. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. What it do, nephews and niece-yous?
Hi, Mike.
What it do, Mike?
What's going on?
All right, man. I walked in my parents' bedroom this morning.
Yeah.
And I saw my dad on all fours, man. And my mom was behind him. And I don't know what was going on. I just shut the door,
If mom was behind him and your dad was on all fours, I can't imagine what was going on.
That's some kind of strap-on action.
That doesn't make any sense.
I take it you mean mom was in front of him.
No.
The
other way around.
Behind.
Wow.
No
Dad is very open-minded.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Your father's very open-minded.
Your mom had a strap on.
I believe so.
We need to talk to them.
Oh. No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
What do you mean, no, we don't? So. Of course we do.
If she didn't, she had a penis.
Which is worse.
Mike, we're going to put you on hold. We need that phone number.
Folks, don't do that when the kids are home. That's all we're saying.
Yeah. That'll ruin save
that
for life.
Save that for special private mom and dad time.
Guys.
Or lock the door.
You don't want to walk in on that at any age. No. It's your parents, right?
No.
Come on.
No, God, no. All right. Finally, Jennifer in Newport. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Lisa May?
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi. Okay, so I took my car into Jiffy Lube because it was acting up and I had some oil problems.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds dirty.
It does, yeah.
And I keep these naked photos of myself in the glove department.
Of course you do. You never know when you need one.
That's where I keep mine, too, of
and,
you.
So So they jacked all my quarters in my little coin change box, and they jacked all my photos.
Of course.
Oh. They're going to be on the internet so quickly.
No, don't say that.
You're at the Jiffy Lube, please send us those photos. You can send us them in email form, or you can send them in a letter form.
Let me stop everybody for a moment and remind you that we're talking to someone named Jennifer, and she's in Newport
Beach.
That's what we're saying. So, Jennifer, how many pictures are we talking about here, sweetheart?
Well, I mean, I had a whole roll of them, and I had half at home, and I had half in my glove department. I'd say about... Good 30, maybe.
Jennifer, can I ask?
30 pictures.
Can I ask the question that I'm sure everyone is thinking, which is, why were you keeping them in your glove box? Just in case you needed them immediately?
Well, no. I was driving to this guy I was seeing's house, and I had them, and I thought, you know, well, I maybe I would have use for them, but.
Jiffy Lube, if you are listening, please send those photos to Kevin and Bean at K-Rock.
We could call the Jiffy Lube for you, but they would just deny it. They would just say they have no idea what you're talking about. They didn't do it.
I'm sure they would. They jacked everything in my car. They totally messed it up.
Yeah.
Dude, that sucks.
I know. And I would have done the same thing. Let's be honest.
I would have left the quarters and just taken the pictures, quite frankly.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know why she leaves them in the glove compartment? In case she ever gets stopped by a cop. She's like,
Oh,
let me look for my license and registration here in the glove compartment.
Is this it?
Could you hold these for me, officer, while I search?
Yeah, I know how you work.
Well, that is a very sad tale. I don't like to see any Jennifers unhappy. I will tell you that.
So, Jiffy Lube, you send them to us, and Jennifer, you send us the other half that you have at home.
Okay, I will.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Very well done. I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including our pal Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com for all the showbiz news, TMZ.com for all your entertainment needs. Also, thanks to AstrologyZone.com's Susan Miller. What'd you think of that, Ralph? You were listening in the other room, would you? Oh, Ralph's already gone.
I thought it was very good. It was very interesting, Bean.
We had her on as an expert on astrology, but I'm not sure that I'm convinced yet. But you can go to astrologyzone.com if you want to find out more. And thanks to Nancy Jarecki for joining us. She is the creator of the pubic hair coloring product line called Betty Beauty. And that's the website too, bettybeauty.com.
I don't know why Ralph sounds like the Queen of England, but I don't do impressions very well. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to do our new feature, Lightning Strikes. He's at it again, and our producer is spectacular.
Magical, yes.
Also, tomorrow's the day, after all of this hype and all of this time, when the PS3 is finally coming out. It's going to hit stores tomorrow at midnight.
This morning, driving by the Best Buy in La Brea, people are already camped out on the sidewalk.
What?
They were tense.
Yeah, are you sure that's not for our Christmas CD on Tuesday?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I don't know why we should get excited. No one we know is going to get one, I'll tell you that.
Well, they can't make them fast enough, Bean. You know that.
They only made 10 for sale around the whole world.
Also, some more MySpace videos from Diddy on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Insomniac Russian Bears tomorrow. But Psycho Mike has a guy who decorated his house in silver and black for the Raiders. Some flag, the paint the house, the address on the front.
Everything. Wow.
Yeah, this might not be the season for that.
Did he paint 2-7 somewhere on the walls, Mike?
I didn't see that anywhere, no.
Plus, did he paint most continuous games shut out on Monday Night Football anywhere in the house?
Didn't find that either.
Okay.
Plus, speaking of the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD, it's Kevin and Bean Super Christmas, and it comes out Tuesday, November 21st at all Southern California Best Buys.
Best Buy ye!
Nice. And also tomorrow morning, we're going to start giving away tickets. Today, you are finding out who the bands are for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006, Night 2, December 10th, Gibson Amphitheater. We mentioned earlier this morning, Gnarls Barkley and Angels and Airwaves. And coming up in just 5 or 6 minutes, we're going to give you another band on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, we'll give away tickets.
And Kat Corbett has 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including details on who's going to be playing Night Number 2. And I don't want to get anyone nervous, but we are playing a Modest Yahoo song coming up. Also, Wolf Mother on the way, Incubus, My Chemical Romance, Nirvana, and more right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.